Friday
Talk Show.
Recorded live.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Virtual Talk Show for Men. Guess what, y'all? This is our 142nd episode. Wow. Can you believe it? Our 142nd episode brought to you by the www.householdstress.com team. We continue to come to you every Tuesday night to discuss our issues. That's right. Every Tuesday night to discuss those issues. I said it. That's right. Our issues. Remember to say I said that 3 times. So pray for me, guys. And also pray for our lost souls. We will need it tonight because our topic tonight, like all the others, is no different. It's very deep. Does your wife have your man card? Let me say that again, just in case anybody didn't hear it. You're looking around, making sure that there's no women around, or you're looking at yourself in the mirror, make sure that you're looking at a man in the mirror. Does your wife have your man card? That's right, fellas. We're going to be talking about manhood. Let's just break it down. Now that we have to do it again, let's look at the definition. You know, I took this from one of our other hosts. We got to go to the dictionary, man. The dictionary helps us out every single time. So at www.dictionary.com, I looked up the word manhood. It's a noun, and it has 4 different meanings. Can you believe that? First one is the state or time of being a man or adult male person, male maturity. And for emphasis, time and man is underlined. 2, definition number 2, traditional manly qualities. 3, maleness as distinguished from female. And 4, informal, or let's just call it your genital, the penis. That's right. That's what we talk about when we talk about manhood. So somehow we're going to break all 4 of those definitions down tonight, fellas. And I'm just going to go ahead on and get started. So my question to the audience is basically, what does manhood mean to you? You got the definitions from dictionary.com, so what does manhood mean to you?
Well, to me it means responsibility. Stepping up and accepting it.
Okay. Responsibility. Anybody else?
Accountability along with responsibility. I say that.
What about credibility?
Absolute.
Because that's a little different than being accountable.
Yeah, you got to be credible first.
All right, I mean, is that it, fellas? That's all manhood means to y'all?
Basically.
How about just like the definition said, just being a man? Because it broke it down. You know, there's, you can be a man, but you can be feminine. So is it okay to be feminine as a man?
Define feminine.
Feminine is being more as a female or having thoughts as a female.
Having what as a female?
Having female thoughts. Thinking as a female would.
I don't have that issue, so I don't know.
I mean, you may not have that issue, but you know people that do, right?
Yeah, I do.
So that's what we talk about. I mean, we need to define the definition so we can make sure that we're not slipping. Because you never know. You might find out at the end of the night that you are slipping in some areas. So we want to get all this out on paper, fellas. And so, I mean, I need to know all the words. And if you slip up tonight and you call somebody a punk, that's fine. I mean, isn't that part of manhood, not being a punk? I mean, let's talk. Let's be real. Let's sit up here and don't wait on me to say something. You know what a man is. Right? So I'm going to write down punk. What about honor? Does manhood mean you got to, you know, you want to be honor? You know, you got to have some type of honor?
I think that just goes back to what you said earlier about credibility and accountability. That's all tied in together.
That's all tied in together. What about character? Do you have to have a certain type of character to define manhood? Well, what about masculinity? Do you have to be strong to be a man?
You know, all the terms you're putting out there, everything depends on your definition. Because
I gave the definition out of the dictionary. I gave
What I'm saying is, you talk about you have to be strong to be a man. Okay. Well, you know, Jesus was quite strong, but he didn't walk around roughshod over people. He had quiet strength. He had meekness. He had strength under control. So, you know, just it depends on what your definition of strength is. Some people's definition of strength is a bully.
Well, that's what I need to know. I mean, that's what we want to find out, because what we're going to find out tonight, fellas, from doing the research that I've done so far and probably just being a man myself, is there's different types of manhood, and we need to define each one. And not only do we need to define manhood and define each one, we need to define the difference from a single man's manhood to versus a married man's manhood.
You know, when I was coming up, you know, the amount of sexual exercise determines your manhood.
That's another one. You are 100% correct. That's one of the ones I'm checking off is your sexuality. I mean, how you know. How the other guys saw you sexually in the street, not being like gay, but as in how many girls you got.
Now, there's a good question. Can you be gay and be a man?
Oh, I didn't even write that one down, but I'm writing it down now.
That's a deep one.
It is a deep one. I say not. That, I mean,
that is to me the quintessential opposite of being a man.
That's, you took the words right out of my mouth, brother.
I mean, you can't be taking it, you know, and be a man.
Well, that would say you define manhood by your sexuality, then.
That's part of it.
No, but is that it? Because you said there's several definitions.
That's right.
Is that the definition?
And be a man.
So then it is about sexuality then.
I say part of it is.
I believe he's right. Part of it is. I mean,
that's not. No, there's no all of it. But then again, I don't believe a man that pounds on a woman is a real man. I think he's a punk.
There it is. There's that punk word.
But that's me. You know, I mean, most of the men I've ever met in my life, quote unquote men that beat their women. A real man steps up to him and they punk out.
Well, and I want to add that in, because later on we will have to get religious on this call, because religious and some religions define manhood, and they define not in this culture but in other cultures and other religions different than Christianity. That it's all right to beat your daughter if she disrespects the family. It's all right to kill your daughter if she disrespects the family.
All right to beat your wife.
It's all right to beat your wife, you know.
Matter of fact, about 2 weeks ago, I posted something on Facebook, the correct manner to beat your wife.
It goes on, fellas.
It was a Muslim cleric that was given the proper method and determination of the correct way to beat your wife.
Wow. Man, I'm trying to tell you, this manhood thing, get ready to get real deep, fellas. It's getting very real. I don't know if y'all can understand, you know, feel my intensity of how I'm talking about this thing here, but manhood really needs to be defined in year 2011.
Mm.
Because what I found out is look, let's just do it. Let's go to Manhood Academy. Do you know that real men are very rare today? And why do you think so? To me, men are, and this is me, and please step in if you think I'm wrong or if you want to follow up on anything that I say. Men are reflected in various different ways, by weakness, skill, silliness, skillness, feminist, carelessness, laziness, lack of control, liars, spinelessness, having no backbone. There's probably multiple ones, but those are the ones I put down. Can y'all throw some extra ones in there?
But let me ask you a question. Why do you think that is the way it's become with a lot of men?
But because that's just the way things are defined today. I mean, there's so many different manhoods, and I think it comes down from generation to generation.
Well,
yeah,
when
I was growing up, my grandfather, he wouldn't be caught pushing a baby stroller because that would have meant he wasn't a man. He wouldn't be caught changing a diaper because that would have meant he wasn't a man. There was women's work, there was man's work, and never the twain shall meet. And that was just, I mean, he was born in the late, you know, the early 1920s, and there would be never a place for him to do womanly work because that meant he was less than a man. So today what we look at as manhood is different than what it was just, you know, 80, 90 years ago.
But and I want to add on to that because back in the day, men weren't even allowed to go in to see the baby born with the woman.
Those were the good old days.
You know, that was all the woman's responsibility, you know, having the baby and just deforming the man what they had.
Okay, speaking of such, and again, I'm speaking of my generation and raised the way I was, okay, there were certain things that women do, certain things that men do, okay? Baby showers and bridal showers were not what men do.
Yeah, I was upset when I had to go to mine. I'm going to be honest with you.
Okay,
I was like,
well,
wait a minute, I thought men don't, and my wife told me no. That don't work like that these days.
Mm-hmm.
They have co-ed baby showers. And I was like, wait a minute, I don't want to go to no baby shower. Girl stuff, and they're going to be just putting on hats and opening up the gifts and all like that. I just drop you off, and we had an argument over it.
Oh, we got a raging argument going right now. One of our best friends about to have a baby. And my wife told her friends, don't worry, he's coming.
And you need to go, because I was just at a baby shower 2 weeks ago, co-ed baby shower. I told y'all this before, but what ended up happening is, you know, until you go to a co-ed baby shower, you realize that it's not even all that it's cracked up to be.
You just lost your man card.
No, because literally all the guys, you know, the father was there, you know, and I think that's what we're missing, fellas, is that, you know, it took two people to make the baby, and it's, you know, I look at the baby shower, especially the co-ed, as a family event. Now, some ladies still do have it, you know, as just, you know, ladies get together, whatever the case may be. But, you know, folks that I deal with, it's co-ed. It's like a big family get together. So
I got a question for you, Rodney.
Yes.
Did they put the little hat on you, too?
No, and that's what I'm about to explain to you.
You put the hat on you?
What actually happened is that I took my wife and my daughters, and
we were
outside the whole time, you know, literally.
Man, Roddy, they got you.
I was outside hanging with the fellas, so it was almost
like
a backyard barbecue.
They got
so,
you. They got you. You go to the bridal shower, too?
No, that's something you don't hear. That's totally different.
Wow, so, they got co-ed bridal showers, too.
I ain't never heard of that.
Yes, they do.
I've never heard of that.
I've had some friends that say.
I've never heard of that.
Why didn't you go to that? I think that's taking it too far.
Yeah,
why?
I've never heard of that.
They
that's
got it. What I'm trying to say.
Why is it going too far?
I mean, because you have, see, in that instance, you have a ceremony for men and women. Men do their thing. The groom does his thing, and the bride does their thing. But the baby is unisex. The baby, like you said, the baby is with both people. So.
Exactly.
Well, like I said, it all depends on the way you grew up.
Right.
When I grew up, men didn't go to baby showers or bridal showers. They didn't put on little hats and little panties and all that stuff.
But they don't do that today. I think that's what the myth is, that until you actually go to it, you know, you don't even get involved in it. It's like you just drop the ladies off and hang out outside and be like, let me know when y'all ready to go.
So in other words, you're not really attending the baby shower.
Exactly.
Okay, so why are you going to be there?
But
just
you are.
Drop them off and hang outside
is not going to the baby shower.
Just to be in the
baby shower, sitting around, put on the hats, load up the balloons, play little games. That's
one thing I went to support my man because I knew he was going to be there as the father.
By the way, my wife is listening to this comments down the steps.
Listen, wait, guys, but this is true. I mean, Andrew brings up the best point. Tradition.
Tradition is the problem.
Thank you.
Tradition is what's got a lot of us short.
Thank you.
And I'm going to tell you why I say that. Because, you know, a lot of us are manly men. We know we're responsible. We were raised right. We don't have any sugar in the tank. Most of us. And there's some that got sugar in the tank, but that's not the brother that's on this call right now.
Right.
But the point that I'm making is the fact that we didn't have proper, most of us did not have proper training as far as being a man in a marriage. So we were going on what we saw, our uncles and our father and the males in our lives prior to us getting married. We watched them. That's all we know. And some of us didn't even get that. So now we come into a marriage not knowing what it really means to be a man.
Yep.
I can't get away from my wife screaming at me about this call. Walking behind me. Like in the biblical days, the men went to the baby shower.
But, I mean, what the brother is saying is right, because if you look at tradition, like, you know, my father didn't change diapers or anything like that.
No.
But that doesn't make it right. You know what I mean? I think that's the whole myth. Is like we just continue to follow tradition, whether it's right or wrong, because it's tradition. You know, we don't even question, you know, maybe
but
I should
it,
change
is
my
it
kids'
following
diaper.
Tradition, or are we just modifying? Because some traditions you want to keep, just like Tom said. Some, I mean, we're talking difference between a baby shower
and a bridal shower.
And a bride.
What's the difference?
It is a difference.
And now they're also having
it's a bunch of women sitting there.
They're having group, what do you call it, the bachelor and bachelorette parties. They're doing everything together now. So what's
that?
That
might be safer. That might
I'm going to
have safer.
To go out on the deck because my wife keeps getting into this car.
Yeah, but that, I mean, with the whole bachelorette party, you know, combined, I've never been invited to one of those either. I don't know if anybody
I've
else
heard
has.
I've never been invited, but, you know, wife and friends, they always, you know, somebody's having one.
Well, it won't take much to go from a bridal shower to a wedding shower, and now you bring the dudes. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's what he's talking about. You know, where you combine.
Yeah, you know, a bachelor party and a bachelorette party are different than a bridal shower.
Exactly.
Okay. Oh, Lord.
We're not talking about bridal showers.
I don't have this issue at your house.
Yeah, we jumped from baby shower to bridal shower, and it didn't even need to jump there because, you know, you can jump from baby shower to wedding shower. You know, there, you know, and like the brother said, that's a safer route because you know if your future spouse is there, you're not going to bring in the strippers or, you know, whatever you're going to do. It's going to be a
bachelor party. Bachelor party and bridal party are two different things. Bachelorette party and bridal party are two different things.
Yeah, I said bachelor and bachelorette.
Yeah, but that's not a bridal party.
Nobody's talking about the bridal party. Nobody has got an invite to a bridal shower. I don't think anybody on this line has got an invite to a bridal shower.
Okay. Why not? You getting married too?
Yeah.
I got a question.
I mean, if you're going to go to a baby shower, it's your baby, you're getting married, it's your wedding. I mean, you know, if we got to have it all equal.
I think it's a question on the floor.
Yeah, I have a question.
Yeah.
Does anybody on this call go shoe shopping with their wife?
I do. I absolutely do.
I do. I don't want to sometimes, but I do.
Stay to the whole thing. Help pick out the shoes, sit in.
Yeah, I'll do that with my wife basically because she hates to shop, and it's very difficult for her to go out and get stuff, and I'll say, honey, let's go get some clothes.
Yeah, my wife hates to shop too. So I'm like, well, try this on. And she's like, no, this is good. I think I'm fine. Let's go to the register. And I'm just like, well, no, you know, check this one out over here because she hates to shop, you know. So
my wife hates to shop. So now my ex-wife has a whole different boat.
That's why she's your ex.
And she had, but she had over 300 pairs of shoes.
Now, that's a problem.
She had a problem. Yeah. But my wife just doesn't like to shop. And if we're in a store, I'll say, hey, you know, why don't you get some new shoes? My wife will hardly ever go out and buy herself clothes and shoes and stuff. So, yeah, I'll, if I'm in a store, very rarely do I say, you know, we got nothing to do, let's go shoe shopping.
Yeah, and I say this, you know, in my case, it's very rare, you know, so I'm not talking about every weekend or once a month, you know, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the rarity. And when I say rare, you know, I can count on half a hand, you know, how many times I've been shoe shopping in the course of a 12-month period. You know, because my wife don't shop like that. So, you know.
I do have a question, though. Is there a problem with having male activities and female activities?
No.
Separate or together?
Huh?
Separate or together?
Separate.
Separate.
No.
I mean, is it a problem to have boxing night and have the fellas over? Do we have to have the women involved in everything? Do the men have to be involved in everything that women do? I mean,
if we go back to the call, that's how it is now. I mean, traditionally right now, if you have a boxing party, you invite folks over your house that not only can, you know, your friends, but your wife's friends too. So
yeah.
You just won't feel left out. I mean, it's different than... And this is where I get to where I said we got to separate and figure out the difference between a single man manhood and a married man's manhood. Because
well,
there are differences.
Yeah, each one has
a responsibility. I just pulled boxing out of the hat. It doesn't have to be boxing. I'm saying, is there a problem with just having men-only activities?
No.
Besides the men's ministry?
No.
No.
Okay.
No.
So that's what I'm talking about. Women have, and there's nothing wrong with that. Women have their thing. Men have their thing. And why does it always have to be? It seems like today's society, well, you know, you have to be metrosexual and you have to be sensitive and all this nonsense if you don't do this and don't do that. Okay?
Well,
women
have
things that they like to do together.
You're right, but I think the issue comes up with, and let's just go back to boxing, that let's just say you're invited to a boxing party. And you know it's going to be all men. But your wife likes boxing just as much as you do.
Okay.
There's your dilemma. What you going to tell her?
Well, it depends if it's a men-only event.
Okay, well, then it's a decision. Do I not go? My wife likes boxing. She's going to be home watching boxing by herself. She's going to watch the fight by herself or with someone else, a girlfriend or whatever. So do you leave her? You know, or do you say, okay, I can't come? Because my wife likes boxing too, and she would like to come.
Well, see, I wouldn't say that. If I was invited to a guy's hangout, it wouldn't be, oh, my wife likes to do this, so I'm not going to come because she likes to do it. For me, okay. And just like if she's going to have a girls' night out with the girls, and they were doing something that I may like to do, okay,
like bowling.
Yeah, let's say the girls decided they wanted to go bowling.
So here's the manhood question. Here's the manhood question. Is it compromise when you're married? Is it all right? Because are you still a strong man if you say, baby, This is an all-man event. I know you want to go, but I want to go by asking your wife that you can go? Or is it like, baby, I'm going to party. You can't go because there ain't no girls there. I'll holler at you later.
Well, first of all, I don't know about y'all, but I don't have to ask my wife permission to go anywhere. Okay? Now, out of respect.
Okay. Oh, wait a minute. Out of respect. See, now.
And she doesn't have to ask me to go anywhere. I mean, she's not my kid, and I'm not her kid. If she says, hey, are we doing anything Friday night or Saturday night, or this, and I say no, and she says, oh, because, you know, my sisters want to have a girl's night out. She doesn't say, would it be okay if I, you know, will you allow me to go out with her? I mean, that's, you know.
That's taking it too far, you think?
To me, it is.
Okay.
Now, also, Patrice, the one thing you didn't do tonight is, and maybe you did, I didn't hear you go over the rules, the ground rules. Okay, now, when you have a topic about man card, I think the word permission should be illegal.
Did you say submission?
Permission should be illegal. Well, nobody on this call should be talking about, did I ask permission? Because then that's a whole man card issue all by itself.
Well, you don't have a man card if you ask permission.
Well, I got to write that down because this is.
It might let you loan it.
Because the title tonight is, did my wife take my man card?
And well, if you got to ask her permission, that means she gives it to you for the night, and you give it back when you walk in the door.
Good.
Now, I know some men like that. They ain't going to be on this call because they wouldn't be able to stand it. And I ask him in a minute, man, you know what? You don't have to sit down to take a leak. Zipper goes in the front, not in the side, not in the back. Do we need to do a zipper realignment therapy?
Well.
I mean, this is true. I mean, this is why we're on here, man, because what we're going to find out is when we're going to listen to this call right after we get off the phone. This is going to be one of the biggest calls for a woman.
Yeah.
Because they need to understand, and that's why I keep asking these questions, because they don't understand. They don't understand what manhood is. They have something that they were told when they get the girls get together and what they expect a man to do. But do they really understand what manhood really means and what you have to do to be a man?
And I think the biggest problem is that, and I'm not saying us men on the call, but men in general, as a group, have given up their responsibility of teaching manhood.
Ooh, good words.
They leave the family. They walk out. They dip and dodge. You know, they're Rolling Stone. Wherever they lay their hat is at home. These mothers are raising kids by themselves. They're raising little girls by themselves. They've never seen what a man is. All they've ever seen is their mother, and she has to do it all. And these boys are being raised by their mother. I don't care how good a mother you are, you cannot teach your son how to be a man.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's not possible.
Now,
that doesn't mean that you can't have a wonderful son that you've raised and different things, but you do not have the capability of teaching a boy how to be a man because you are not one and you can't think like a man.
Say that.
And I agree with you, and I want to add on to that. Now that we're talking about young men and young boys, is this why it's okay to have a boy to have an earring when he's a baby?
Well, don't get me started on that. I I'm older than most of y'all, so.
With
dudes like that, when I was coming up, we threw a rock at them.
What you're seeing. They're already developing bad habits. If you look at kids now in the church, all of them got earrings. Is it okay for a kid to have dreads in their hair or braids in their hair when they're less than 1 year old?
I don't know about
the like that.
But I got a real problem with little boys wearing earrings. I mean, but again, showing my age, I didn't, you know, I mean, you know, boys did boy things. They didn't wear dresses and skirts and earrings. You know, I mean, we played with the G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip. We didn't play with Ken with the rollerblades. Okay.
Yeah.
G.I. Yeah. Joe whipped Ken's behind, kicked him out of the Corvette, and got him some nookie.
You're right.
All right? You know, Ken was strapped with some explosives as G.I. Joe rolled off with his woman.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I kind of grew up.
Yeah, you're right.
Today's little boys, they don't want G.I. Joe with the kung fu grip. They want Ken with the rollerblades.
Not only that.
Wow.
Boys want PlayStation. They want MVP. And the reason why I say that is, it's not a problem. And it drives me crazy because my wife went and got the Xbox for my son. And he likes playing it. But he'll rather play that than be outside.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big problem with manhood, because men, now, my son will cut anybody's grass and he's 8 years old. He likes to work because he sees me work. But a lot of boys don't get that. All they see is what the game shows them.
Right?
Yep.
Well, you better turn it off.
I think that's because the mama's at work, the man's not in their life, so they have to figure out a way to find manhood. Is manhood taught in the street and not in the home?
Yeah, but it also depends on your environment. And a lot of times we move out from the city, we buy these big houses, and just somewhat secluded. Me growing up in New York, you know, we all live in apartment buildings, so we all, at a certain time, all of us got together in front of the building, and like the pastor was saying, this weekend we didn't really have grass, because Central Park was a little ways away. So we would play football, touch football on the concrete. We played football, baseball, basketball, stickball, everything you could possibly do, manly sports, you know, and that's what we did in the summertime.
And whatever season it was, the sport changed.
The sport changed. In the snow, we played football. We couldn't wait for snow. We played football in the snow. And I'm talking about tackle, ball, knock, you know, manly stuff. Now, you know, like, your son will probably have to travel the neighborhood to find a pickup game.
Well, you drive down our neighborhoods today, ain't no kids outside.
Nope. There's
that's
no pickup games
fat.
Nowhere.
They inside.
And if you
play
don't really play basketball, and if you don't really play basketball, if you want to play some football, who are you going to find a pickup football game at? Even tag.
Right.
Touch football, you got to join a league to get that.
When I was a kid, I lived in the suburbs, but, I mean, we would go out and you would go call for Nicky. Knock on his door. Can Nicky come out and play? Man, it's just not like that today.
No.
They hook
no.
up the Xbox and play against each other online.
Mm. Online. Never leave the house.
Next door to each other.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think the example has to be for us men to stand up and teach the children how to be men.
Yep.
And show the girls what a real man is.
And
they know how to pick them.
And, Andrew, we missing the most important part. And I know this is a sore subject, and as parents, we don't want to talk about it. See what I'm saying? But when we were growing up in those areas, we knew how to fight.
True.
So you had to know how to fight.
I had to learn how to fight.
You had to know how to box. You had to know how to body box, chest box. You have to know how to protect yourself.
Yeah, you have to use your hands.
Come on, they're not doing that now.
But nobody taught these kids how to fight. They told them how to pick up a gun and go to jail and drop the soap.
Exactly. So you may
give up their man card.
Your daughter may be dating a kid, a teenager of today that don't know how to fight. You can't even protect them.
But
I'm
going to
hear something funny.
I want to say on these kids, guys, because what I also want to bring in is what you just said. I mean, kids see these things from younger kids and young males that now they give how with your pants behind you, under your butt, where you got to walk with pigeon-toed, swagging.
Exactly.
You know, they give us a name, but nobody understood that this is how gay people wore their pants in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nobody informed them that this is how it started.
Yeah. Maytag, I think, is what they call it.
Tony, the funny thing is you talk about, you know, these kids not knowing how to stand up for these girls and all this kind of thing. My daughter, one of her first little boyfriends, I guess she was about 16 or 17 or so, and this little boy that she was dating, we were at the bowling alley, and some other little dude that was working there told my daughter, you know, I'd have smacked your boyfriend and take you.
Oh, wow.
And now, my daughter comes sits next to me, and she's all upset, and I know she's upset. What's wrong? Nothing. I got it out of her, and I know the little boy, her boyfriend, and her dad and I are on the same bowling team. And I said, dude, you know, you need to go and straighten that out. Okay. He's like, no, he's playing. I'm like, dude, you don't let somebody step up to your woman and talk that. I said, if you got to get your ass beat, that's what you need to do. But you need to step up and take care of that. No, it's okay. It's okay. 2 days later, my daughter dropped and she said, he's a punk.
But you know what?
Yeah.
And you know what? Why this is so important? Because we're teaching, you know, a lot of us have daughters here. And as men, we're teaching them what manhood should be like. And we're teaching our daughters, this is what a man should do for you. This is our definition of what we feel, you know, what manhood is. And it's been like this through generations and generations. When a woman doesn't see you step up for her, and it's written in the Bible, everybody knows it, and you're not there for her and protect her, he looks at you not as a man.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, because honestly, I mean, we talk about it, and again, nobody's promoting fighting or any kind of physical violence at all.
No.
But come on, we're men on the phone, and there's going to be a time when you're going to get tested and how you're going to act.
How you're going to act
as a teenager, how you're going to act as a young adult, how you're going to act as a man raising a family, protecting your family. And if somebody steps out of line, your wife is going to be, you ain't going to tell your wife, honey, what's that noise at 4 o'clock in the morning? Go see what it is. You know what I mean? I mean, seriously, you can't be no punk raising a family. You should, it just don't mix.
Now, see, Tony, me and you, we grew up the same, man.
Yeah.
You can't be no punk.
No, you can't be no punk.
You just can't be no punk. And see, that was, and I know, you know, and my wife, she just laughs when I say, because I be like, I ain't no punk B.
Yeah.
You know, I snatch his tie off and whip somebody's behind. You know,
I go in there and get that tire iron and not put a knot on somebody's head.
That's right.
You know,
tell you what, yeah. Tell him get under the bed. I'm getting ready to go find out what's happening. If I don't come back, call 911. One or the other.
Somebody's gonna take the hit. It's gonna be me.
Somebody exactly.
Okay. If somebody's gonna take the hit, it's gonna be me. I've had a couple of dudes pull up on my wife. With me sitting there, I couldn't believe it.
Right. Because the first time your wife or your girlfriend says, oh, he ain't going to do nothing. You're done.
You're right.
Because manhood also means head of household. And that's what
household.
Our soul is all about.
As a man, you have to be the protector. And you know, I believe this, if called upon, you got to lay your life down for them. Okay? If somebody comes in here tonight, believe me, somebody's going to die, me or them.
Yeah.
And it's just that way.
And then by that time,
I'm not running out
the
back door.
Well, you made a comment about laying your life down, and I want to give an example of, is it possible that wouldn't necessarily be the best outcome. Now, you know, say for example, you walking in, you know, the mall or something, and you know, a dude bumps you, or you know, whatever the case may be, and there's a disagreement. Now, you could walk away and just, you know, try to distinguish it, or you can get into it, you know, with this guy, and he could, you know, like you say, he could kill you in the middle of the mall. Over some stupid stuff, you know. So it's a fine line to, you know, laying your life down. I mean, you're breaking into your home. You know, that's something
situation.
Different.
But you didn't say a guy came up and did that to your wife.
Right.
You said you walked by and a guy bumped you.
Yeah, either or.
To me, that's a very different situation.
Yeah, it is a different situation. But what I'm saying is that the outcome could be different as well.
Dishonored and disrespected my wife. There's no way I'm not going to get in the middle of that.
I'm saying that you. I'm not saying that you wouldn't. I'm just saying how you get in the middle of it is important, because you could be laying your life down where you just feel like you're just protecting your wife and don't disrespect my wife. Well, that could be your ending.
And it could be. For me, if I let somebody dishonor my wife, that's my ending anyway.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Okay, because I can't look at the man in the mirror. I'm walking down the street and some other come up to my wife, push me out the way and start to try to do things to my wife, and I let that happen, I'm dead anyway.
Mm-hmm.
For me,
I can't go like that. I don't know if y'all remember this movie called Crash.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was bad. That was bad, and
it brought it up because that's what I wrote down as one of my examples, is that here it is, the police officer has total control of a situation. They have man on their hood and a female on the hood. And the husband stood there and allowed a man to frisk his wife sexually, inappropriately. And he had to make a choice. Let it go down and not do nothing and try to just get through the situation, or stand up and be a man. And she was looking at her husband like, what are you going to do?
Well, she also instigated that situation, though. If you remember the movie, I'm not saying that he didn't still. If you remember the movie, though, he told her to shut her mouth and to sit back. She wasn't even a factor in the conversation or in the whole actions that took place. But what happened is she kept running her mouth. He was trying, and I think what Rodney was trying to say earlier is that sometimes being a man also is based upon how you diffuse situations and how you respond instead of react.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You have to recognize those situations, because you can be one of the strongest, baddest MFs on the planet. And believe me, you know, I'm all for, you know, opening up a can on somebody. But what I'm saying is it would just be stupid, though, to do all that. And then what's going to happen? On your gravestone, they say, here lies one of the baddest MFs alive. He ain't no punk, but he gone.
Right.
Yeah. But he gone, yeah.
And
yeah.
your daughter don't have you around anymore.
You gotta basically see how to diffuse the situation. Because in that scene that you're talking about, that scene till this day upsets me. Because all she had to do was shut up and get in the car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She didn't do that. She kept talking and mouthing. And, of course, she was drunk. But at the same time, all she had to do was listen to her husband, who was using a good firm tone at a certain point and saying, you need to get back in the car. And I actually thought he was being a man. At that point, I mean, he was taking control of the situation and was going to allow it to be two men. Yes, one was a police officer and he was a civilian and handled it. But she just kept mouthing off. Now, the outcome, he didn't have a lot of options. I mean, he could have done... He could have stepped up, but he probably would have gotten shot.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because then it's his story, you know, the police officer's story against, you know.
Yeah.
Because it's
and his wife.
It's still a person that is wearing a shield and a badge or whatever you want to call it.
Yep.
And that would be assault on a police officer. It doesn't matter if you're protecting yourself or not.
Yep.
You're in the wrong.
Right.
You're in the wrong. And, I mean, nobody else was there. I mean, well, his partner was there, because I remember he had a partner. The cop had a partner. Was a young kid.
Yeah.
But that young kid was a rookie. He was afraid to do something. He was scared of his own partner.
Right.
Yeah.
But the thing about that is, after the fact, it affected him and his wife's relationship.
Yeah, but you know what? And you know,
like,
that's, I think, what really didn't sit well with me is because he was being a man, and he was doing what he was supposed to do to defuse the situation.
Mm-hmm.
She made it escalate, and then she had the nerve to try to put it on him like, well, you should have stepped up and you should have been a man. I would not be standing here, probably. Exactly. You probably wouldn't be able to get bail to get me out of jail if I had done these things. If you had just listened to me as head of household or whatever term, husband, whatever you want to say, get back in the car.
And I agree with you. I agree with you, but it because the whole point of that whole movie was how it affected him afterwards.
Everybody's lives ran together. They were all crashing into one another because remember late in the movie, she got in a car accident, couldn't get out of the car, and it was the cop that...
Yeah.
That felt her up was the one that had to save her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I believe that.
But I think what Riley was trying to say is a good point. It's about how being a man sometimes isn't always about reacting. It's about responding. It's not about violence. It's not about figuring out when it's somebody punching somebody in the mouth and when to basically use some words. It's all in how you diffuse the situation because here's the thing. I mean, that situation in the mall, somebody bump you, somebody run up on you. I mean, it's not always about you put hands on somebody. It's always sometimes about, you know, who's watching. What example are you setting for your child that's standing there to see what daddy going to do now? Now, I'm not saying every time you got to be quiet and not say anything, but there's a time and place for everything. The mall ain't it. I mean, the mall ain't it.
And it's a balance, and I think that what we often miss is that, you know, say, for example, that, you know, I bump Peyton in the mall. You know, me and him, we might throw some hands. That might be what it gets to, but neither one of us is going to pull out and shoot the other one.
Exactly.
And that's what we forget to deal with, that we're not dealing with guys like us where it's like, come on, Peyton, let's get it on right here in the mall. You know, I'm socking him upside the head, he's socking me upside the head. But, you know, it's not going to be to the point where it's like, oh, you think you tough. Pow, pow. You know, you laying out in the middle of the mall, you know, just like that. So that's what, you know, just to reiterate my point, was that you're not dealing with folks like you that are like, oh, you want to throw some hands up in the mall? They're like, no.
Click, click, pow.
But that's right. Point. I mean, basically what it comes down to is men aren't dealing with real men anymore. That's the bottom line.
There you go. There you go.
We're dealing with punks.
Yep.
We're dealing with whatever word you want to put in there.
Yep.
Because the fact is that if somebody breaking this house in the middle of the night, yeah, I might have to go to the gun cabinet and get something out because that's a little different.
Right.
But if somebody's talking to me crazy in my yard or something crazy and we over a parking space, we out there, I'm going to try to defuse the situation. But, I mean, hopefully it wouldn't escalate into something where, but that's the thing, it's not that type of world anymore.
Exactly.
We deal with these young kids and these young people and other men, people that look like grown men but really aren't grown men, that want to do things. They want to pull out a knife.
Yeah.
They want to come back and retaliate.
Yeah.
They want to come burn your house down. They want to fire your home. And what type of crap is that? It used to be you got beat up. You shook it off. People did a couple, and that was it, though.
Yeah.
But, you know, my dad always told me manhood is always knowing when to walk away.
There it is.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
You got to know when to step up and when to walk away.
Yeah.
It's almost like the old Kenny Rogers song about cars. You got
to
know
when to hold them.
You got to know when to fold them.
Yep.
And then what do we lose, you know, when we do that? When let's say one of us jumps out there and we're trying to do the right thing, we're ready to throw some hands, and you get popped off. We need you on this side of the grave, you know, for the other brothers. You know what I'm saying? And it's like you're no good use anymore because it's like you just got popped off, you know, over some silly stuff.
Yeah.
Well, Rodney, you know, I don't remember when the last time I seen a grown man with kids throwing hands fighting anyway because we just don't even get it.
Right.
You know, it's like, man, you got it, my fault. You know, my fault. If I did something to offend you, I'm sorry, my fault. Let me just go on and get up out of here.
Keep it moving.
We've learned that we got people depending on us.
There
you
go.
But
you know what I'm saying?
But do you know that at the same time you teaching manhood, if you got your kids with you and they understand if you accidentally bump into somebody that you say excuse me and keep it moving?
Yeah, but
you're right.
But
that's
the thing about that point is there if your kids and teenagers are there, they're of that era that Peyton is talking about. So they're not really going to understand the walk away. They're not going to understand. Be like, Dad, why you ain't slap him? Why you ain't punch him in his mouth? Why are we walking away? You know, you got to tell your kid, hey, look, you don't know what to do at this situation because you're not a man. So follow my lead and let's roll. You know what I'm saying? So you gotta talk to them too because they won't understand it that easy.
Yeah, you gotta.
Tony, let me ask you a question. Same situation, same mall, wherever you happen to be, and some dude comes up and starts disrespecting or physically assaulting your wife. You gonna just walk away?
No.
That's right. Sometimes you gotta whip some tail. Okay. Now so there's a balance and of course, you know, you don't get to be, you know, whatever age we all are, not understanding that. But you have to be willing for me to step up if I feel that somebody has dishonored my wife to step up and set it right.
Now I gotta
You moved too fast. I got to answer the question also. But there's still a conversation that has to be had with that individual.
That's right.
I mean, it's not going to be just, okay, you know what I mean? It's simple. You're my man. You're just going to disrespect me? you don't see me standing? You see what I'm saying? Think about it. And then if it comes to a situation where I don't care nothing about you, then it's all different. Then you.
And
I was
at a restaurant one time with my wife and her aunt. And we were sitting there. We were actually visiting a very sick relative. And, you know, after we got back from the hospital, we were just sitting there. And there's nothing to do but go to the hotel. So we're sitting there for a long time, and the restaurant's empty. And the waiter comes over. And y'all know what I'm talking about when I say this. You guys know when somebody's paying just a little too much attention to your wife. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, you know, so this was our second day there with the same waiter, and I had peeped his game the day before, and I didn't say anything, but I could tell he was paying a little too much attention to my wife, looking at it a little too long. We know the game.
Right.
You know. So we were sitting there probably an hour and a half, and he comes over, and he says, all the dishes were on the table. He says, can I take anything away? You know, talking about the dishes. And we said, no, it's okay. Well, at that point, he grabs my wife's chair and says, I see something I can take, and he starts dragging her in her chair away.
That's just stupid.
That's dumb. That's
okay, now, that's a situation that if you don't handle,
you got
punk.
Some lace on your hand.
Okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, if you don't handle that, you're a punk, in my book.
But that's a totally different situation. You know that the waiter is probably not packing up in the restaurant.
No, it doesn't matter. At that point, I could have been out at the club and you did that. You're not going to go like that.
Yeah, so basically, Rodney, what you're saying is you have to be, it's got to be a tailor-made situation for a man to step up, tailor-made like, okay, well, he's a coworker. I know he works at. Or it's a waiter or where it's a police officer. So if the guy fits the category of a thug, that's when we walk away? I'm just saying. Because you said you know the guy may not be packing, but how do you know that?
We don't know.
He get ready to be packing this chin checker, right?
Don't matter. So then it don't matter.
So what's going on? I just got to ask, did you punch the dude in the face?
No, I told him. I didn't even look up. I said, I will throw you out this window and beat your ass on the way down if you don't take your hand off her chair.
And that's the conversation up. And the conversation ended.
And my wife looked at me and she said, you a bad motherfucker. Excuse me.
Because now he knew what he was dealing with.
She said, you're going to throw him out the window and beat his ass on the way to the ground?
Well, there was one time, I have a story. There was one time my wife, she works retail. At one time she was working retail, and she works in a pharmacy. And guys would come in, talk to her all the time. She would tell me about it. Well, she was concerned about this one guy because this one cop kept giving it in and started giving her gifts. I said, give him a gift back. And one time she called me, and she said, this guy is sitting out in the parking lot.
Oh.
And I'm scared to come outside. I said, don't worry about it. I'll be up there in a second. Now, needless to say, I did go in the drawer and load it up, brought some with me.
Right.
But by the time I got there, I said, I don't even need this. I'm going to just walk up to the man's window. And I said, listen, sir.
You got to.
You got to go right to the window.
I walked up to the window, and I said, listen, excuse me, sir, but who are those flowers for? My wife called me and said that she has nervous that you sitting out here waiting on her, you were going to give her flowers. And if those flowers were her, we got a problem right now. I need you to step out your car before I drag you out of there.
As a man.
And my wife came out running because she saw the cops sitting down there because the store had called the cops.
Mm-hmm.
And I was glad I didn't bring out that heater.
Right. Because then you would have been hemmed up.
Yeah. And they came. They saw I was getting ready to jump off. And they diffused the situation, but...
But at that point, you were ready to throw down, and whatever happened, happened.
All
right?
I needed to know was the flowers were for my wife, and it was going to be on and popping.
What did he say to you?
He says, no, this is not, no. And then by time then, the cops came.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had been sitting back watching the car to see if this guy was going to do it.
Now, Rodney, that's not a tailor-made situation. Dude could have pulled on him. Are you saying in that situation he shouldn't have stepped up?
No, I'm saying what you said. You said sometimes you have to step up, and that's the accurate statement right there.
Now, what if that guy had pulled a gun and dropped him, and we wouldn't have him on his call, and his family wouldn't have him?
That's right.
He would have been on his grave. He was a man, though.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. He was a man.
So what you're
like
saying is he shouldn't have stepped up for the risk of something happening.
Now, there could have been other options I could have taken. But
no,
at the time,
I'm
a man,
I'm saying what you said. You said sometimes.
If you get mortally wounded you should step back because it's not worth dying over.
But you said sometimes.
It wasn't even a thought in my mind, though.
I know it wasn't to you, but I'm addressing what Rodney said because this is definitely not a tailor-made situation.
No.
This is a situation of dudes in his car. You don't know what he's got.
Yeah.
Okay, he could have gone off. He could have said, you damn right, you smiled for her. Bang, bang, bang.
All right, hold on. Andrew. Hold on, guys. Where I'm at. This is Mike.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
How you doing,
Andrew?
Mike?
I called in a few weeks ago, in case you guys don't remember me.
Mike, we remember you.
Absolutely.
Shut up.
Hey,
what
hey,
I'm missing?
Hey, Andrew, that was borderline premeditate.
What I missed? Fill me in. I've been
We're talking about a gentleman's wife was being harassed at work, and she called him up. And the guy was sitting outside waiting for her, and she was scared to go outside. So the husband had to drive up there and handle his business.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I mean,
and what I'm saying is, let me answer the question, is I think P-Town did absolutely the right thing. But that's what y'all keep going to these extremes where I'm not even in it. I'm saying what you're saying. I'm saying what Peyton's saying. Sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, and then don't go to the extreme where it's like, well, that, you know, well, you wouldn't have done it. I didn't say that. You know, I'm just saying what you said. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. Now, in that situation,
I'm with you, Rodney.
You know, I think that he was absolutely right. But sometimes you might need to say, you know what? You know, yeah. I mean,
you know what?
I'm going to
let the police handle this one. Bam.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, you're right.
But can I add a little twist to this story?
Yeah.
Throw it in there. Twist it.
Let me. It's not. I don't know about this, but I believe it happens. What if it's somebody you knew?
Hmm.
What if the pastor?
He didn't say the pastor.
I've seen it happen where the pastor
got a story about that. My wife and I are in a bowling league. We have been for several years, and
what are you bowling?
It's kind of weird because it just seems
bowling.
That, it just seems that the white people on the league are real frisky with each other. I mean, it's the weirdest thing, but they'd be slapping each other's wives on the butt and kissing them and stuff. And, you know, brothers don't go for that.
No.
Okay. And one of the dudes that I know personally happens to be one of my patients and all. I mean, I got a personal relationship with this guy. My wife is sitting at the table, on the chair. He comes in and sits in my wife's lap. Okay?
I mean, but, you know, it's kind of different because you do know the guy. You know,
yeah,
what
well,
say,
that's what
say,
he just
hey,
said. What if you know somebody and they cross the line?
You could tell them in a nice way, hey, that's not appropriate.
Exactly, yeah.
And I did tell him in a nice way.
Out.
I said, you will never do something like this to me again.
Right.
He said, oh, I said, no, we don't play like that. Do we understand
no.
each other?
Yeah. I mean, you got to get, like, you know, Brody with it, but, you know, I would have said,
you
step across the line right there.
Well, I don't know. You might need to be firm.
I was very firm.
Need to be firm.
And one of the things that I have, my wife, she knows I got a short trigger for certain things, and you dishonor my wife, I got a short, quick trigger, and she'll see some things sometimes. She'll be like, you know, Andrew, calm down.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
she knows that the guy doesn't know. We were on a cruise, and we're sitting there, and I'm sitting there with my wife, and this dude comes up and asks to dance with her. I'm sitting right there. And she says, well, I'm sitting here with my husband. I want to dance. And he says, well, just because your husband's there don't mean you can't dance. When he said that, I lost.
But let me say this. Let me say this, is that the devil knows what your weaknesses are.
That's true.
And Andrew has given several
yeah.
examples.
Many examples.
Many examples that he's probably given more examples with him personally than all of us combined with our wives. And I say that because the devil, it's a lesson in how you react in those situations. And
yeah.
I think it keeps coming up, you know, it keeps rearing its head because it's like you just say you have a short fuse for just stuff like that. And I think we all do, but it's happening more and more often in your relationship than any of us combined, I think. You know,
yeah.
I know that my wife's been, you know, talked to and stuff like that, but sitting in the lap, asking to, you know, her to dance right in front of me, I mean, that stuff hasn't happened to me.
Way at the rest stop.
Yeah, I mean, so I just think that we have to be mindful that the devil is going to put some situations, you know, in our lives, no matter whether it be this situation or whatever, but he knows what's going to set us off, what we have
mm-hmm.
a short fuse for. And it's a lesson in that. It's like, okay, I responded this way last time. Let me try to respond differently this time. Now, I'm not saying that you just, you know, call the police and say, oh, you know, I'm scared of my house. You know, he's doing. I'm not saying that. What I'm just saying is that it keeps coming up because it's a reason it keeps coming up.
Yep. It's just like the devil does anything, trying to get you in the grave.
Exactly. And that goes back to my point, Peyton, is that when he gets you in the grave, you won't be on here helping nobody. You won't be helping, you know, the people you help. You won't be doing the things that you do, and you'll be off of here.
Yeah.
Victim. You just, and as we just go by the little headstone, he wasn't no punk. You know, whatever the case may be. You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, that, Peyton, you bring up the exact point is that he don't even want you on here tonight, you know, just sharing and helping, you know, somebody else. So if he can get you in the grave, that's one less dude, one less head of household that he got to worry about. He'll just, you know, worry about the rest of us. So the whole point is to get you off of here. So we just got to be mindful of that.
Yeah.
Good point.
Wow.
You hit it on the head.
I'm
probably only out here is not married, but I be going through some women troubles too. I remember telling you guys how good my girl was and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The next week.
Oh no.
Well, listen. I'm going on a fishing trip with my boy. It's a boy I've known since I was eight. But we've been, you know, hadn't seen each other in like 10 years. So me and him been bonding. So he said, you know, I'm going on a trip with my family. Why don't you come with me? You know everybody on the trip. It's like, cool. So I told my girl I'm going like Wednesday. I tell her I'm going because he told me Tuesday night. So I say I'm going. She said, look, you go on this trip with your boy. We're through. And I go, what? Are you serious? You going to throw away 2 years just like that? I said, you know what? I'm a grown man. I know this dude 10 times longer than I know you. So I'm going. I guess we broken up. So I don't call her. I go on a trip, have a great time. Don't call her nothing. 2 weeks go by. She calls me up. She's mad. How come you ain't called me? You broke up with me. Right? So, I mean, I got, you know, we all men, so I got one keeping it warm for me. You know what I'm saying? You know, it ain't like she ain't been replaced, but, you know, it's somebody trying to get a spot. You know what I'm saying? So,
mm-hmm.
so I was talking to her, and she tells me she went out with another dude. Now, we men, we got women. I know, I mean, single men, we got women like you wouldn't believe, but...
Yeah.
She said, I cheated on you with some guy. And I was like, so you slept with somebody else? She said, yeah, I slept with somebody else. And I was like, well, she said, I did it for spite
for you. And I went, how is it spite if we ain't together? You know?
She thought y'all was
did
together.
Did you a favor, man.
Yeah. I was like, because, you know, it happened like we've been dating for like 2.5 years, and like 3 months in, I really, we was just, I just thought we were dating. I didn't know we was a couple, and I slept with another girl, and the girl's husband came over. That's an even longer story, but she found out that I cheated on her, basically, and she was still upset. So she said she did this for spite. I said, it ain't spite if we ain't together. So she said, are you mad? I said, nah, what am I mad about? He was single, he was whatever, and he did your thing. So nevertheless, the whole relationship has changed now. Now she wants to, she came, she wants back in, but I'm not ready to let her back.
Man, don't do it. Run
into the life. You know what I'm saying? After
2 years,
yeah.
Obviously that dude was on
foundation
your mind.
Dude, run. Let me tell you something.
Anytime.
When somebody shows you who they are, believe them.
Yeah.
This is who she is, and this
like,
is what you will have.
No, you slept with another dude not because
two
you
weeks
wanted
afterwards.
You slept with another dude not because you were into him and wanted to give him some or whatever. You slept because despite me, and she told
no,
me
that's
because
he was already in play.
Right.
See, but that wasn't even the issue here. When
way
she
more
told you if you do something, it's over. That's when you know you got the wrong one.
Exactly. That's what I've been trying to tell her for the last.
It wasn't that she slept with Long Dong Silver. It was that she told you, if you do this, it's over. She was trying to take your man card, and if you had given in, you would have been a punk forever.
That ain't going to never happen. You know what I'm saying? I've been married twice. It ain't never going to happen.
Okay,
but
that's what
would have
happened. When she told you, if you do this, it's over, she's trying to wrestle your manhood.
Nah, it ain't going to happen, Joanne. She know better than, she knew better than that.
Well, she didn't because she laid it down.
Well, you know, don't worry, I was, you know, trust me, I wasn't mad at her for sleeping with one person, trust that.
Hey, Mike, but let me ask you this real quick.
Yeah.
Just tying it back to the topic, what is her relationship that you know of with her father, or what was it?
Well, her father's been gone for a minute, as far as I know, and they had when she was a child, he was a drunk, and he would come over drunk to the house, and he really wasn't around. Like, my girl, she don't really have friends. I've been with her 2.5 years. Nobody's ever came over her house. Nobody calls her up and say, hey, girl, let's go hang out. Let's do this. She has no friends. Only people that call the house are guys who want to sleep with her. That's it. That's the only people that ever called her house. You know, her relationship with her father's kind of, you know, he's been gone like 30 years, I guess. He died when she was like 10. So really didn't have a relationship. I really, you know, close relationship with him, as far as I can see.
But you didn't have that father figure.
And that's the problem that we have as men. This is what we're raising if we don't become that father, or we teach these young girls what they need, then they come in and this is what happens.
Exactly.
Yeah, and now you got, and this is really bad, because now you even, it's harder for a man, even in a head of household, to deal with his own kids. Because of how society is bringing up other kids.
Yeah, but I wanted to say, too, that, you know, if the father died, you know, when she was 10, that absolutely will have an effect on her and her relationships for the rest of her life in some capacity. And it goes back to my earlier point, is that what if, you know, we, you know, as guys on here, you know, what if we're making the right decisions and everything, but, you know, God forbid we die in a car accident, you know, where that's nothing that, you know, we weren't fighting in the mall and got popped off or whatever the case may be. But that, even that can have an, it will have an adverse effect on our widow, on the surviving children. And, you know, so it just goes back to my point, is that you gotta, I mean, when it comes to decisions, whether it be with anything, It's gonna come back, and it may not come back in a way that is gonna be pleasant. And some stuff is out of our control, you know. But the stuff that we can control, you know, what we're talking about on here, I mean, you gotta be cognizant. Like Tony said, it's like I got folks depending on me, you know. And Tony don't even realize it, but he's talking about folks within his household, but he's forgetting about, you know, the guys that's been, you know, that's come through the show and he's helped out and all that stuff. They depend on him to be here on Tuesday nights. So, you know, it's a whole big, like, you when you make that decision, it's like, you're like, you have to sort of take that time to reflect. It's like, I got a lot of folks depending on me. You know, what is this decision? If I do beat this man up in the mall and then I get locked up on assault charges, you know, then, you know, I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's a whole lot of stuff that goes with, you know, with our decisions. And, you know, as Peyton says, it's how we respond versus how we react. It's a fine line, and you got to be, you just got to be mindful. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying you do one or the other, but you have to be mindful.
I think what P-Town said, you know, talking about Kenny Rogers, you got to know when to hold him and know when to fold him.
Yes, yes.
You know, and there's times in your life that you got to holster it. And there's other times that you've got to step up and you've got to, you know, protect your family.
Absolutely.
You know, and you know, it is what it is, but that's what we're called to do.
But,
you know, we talk a lot about, you know, hey, I'd be willing to die for my family.
Mm.
But here's a better question. Are you willing to live for them?
That's what I was getting ready to ask. Because in living for them, that's a whole totally different type of responsibility, accountability,
yes,
credibility, those things that we talked about earlier, all those combined together. Are you prepared as a man to live for your family?
Yeah, because there's no more responsibility, you know, when you're dead.
But just think about it. That means doing whatever it takes to keep your household together.
Yeah, I don't mean dying.
There are people that
are alive, but they're not fighting for their family.
Absolutely.
They're not living for their family. They're punking out.
Absolutely.
They're giving the manhood over to the wife, or they're abandoning the family. They're chasing a shorter skirt next door.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it says in Revelation, love your wife and family just as you love God.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, you know, as a man, is manhood putting God first?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, yeah. And the reason why I asked this, because now I understand why some women are single. And
I understand why some women are single. You understand why they are?
Yeah.
Okay, I do too, but go ahead.
And this is shocking. I was talking to this one of the coworkers at work, and she was talking about all this stuff that she has to do. And the only thing I said to her is, you know, you need to have prayer first. And you know what? She says, you know what? I need to get in this house first and then pray at another time. And I looked at her. I was like, what did you just say? And she said she was putting prayer after she handled her business. And I said, that's why you're in the predicament that you're in now. That's why you sick. That's why you don't have no man. It's because your priorities ain't together.
Yeah, I think
but
it's somewhere in the Bible that, you know, you're supposed to put God first as a woman, and then your man's supposed to be second.
Yep.
Always looking for that. They always say women looking for that father figure and all that. Well, your father's supposed to be God. You know, I think my preacher said that a couple of months ago.
Hmm?
I remember him saying something like that.
Creflo.
No, not Creflo. But, yeah, he was saying something like that. Your man's supposed to be second. So God is your father figure. All you need now is your man. You see what I'm saying?
You figure out why people are confused these days. You figure out why we're in the condition that we are in with all these varieties and the different types of mankind that people say.
Well, Mr. Host, I think that, you know, what I thought you were getting at is that is there, you know, you talk about you understand why women are single, but I understand, too, because of the lack of quantity of guys like us.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about, I mean, we real stand-up guys. You know, all of y'all on here stand-up guys, you know, that I know of, you, the guys I know. So, I mean, but there's a lack of quantity of guys like us. I mean, we're a different breed. And I'm not saying that to toot our own horn, but it's like, would you know, some women do absolutely settle. You know, and others like, no, I'm waiting for a true head of household. You know, like the brother said, where that man that puts God first and, you know, honors the family and protects the family and provides the family for the family. I mean, it's guys like us, unfortunately, we're in short supply.
And
yeah,
you know, the reason is because more men aren't stepping up being men.
Exactly.
Well, again, because I used to be that guy that you're talking about. You know what I mean? That guy that wasn't worthy of being a husband or whatever it is that women are looking for. I just happen to have a wife. So I understand both sides of the coin.
Okay.
And again, I didn't know. I didn't know what it meant. You know, my perception of being a man was warped. You know what I'm saying? I had to learn. You know, so there's some guys out there going through transition. And hopefully they make it to that point. But we got to be patient. We can't write them off.
Yeah.
Because nobody wrote me off. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, every now and then if you see somebody, and I'm guilty of it too, because I know men that aren't the atypical head of household type. And I may not say nothing to them because they may not understand where I'm coming from. But I got to get better at saying, look, dude, I know where you're at because I've been there, but let me tell you, there's a better way to handle your situation. And I think that we all need to step up and grab somebody and say, come on, man, let me help you be a man without being too aggressive with it.
Yeah, that's good words. That's good words. And it's hard because, men are prideful. And, I mean, just like that statement you said is a great statement. I mean, you go up to your fellow brother and it's like, let me help you be a man. That's a great statement. But, I mean, you tell another man that he's like, who is this cat? You ain't my dad. I mean, it goes into the whole point. You don't tell me what to do. That's when our pride comes into it. And it's difficult for us to say, let me.
You're right.
You know.
That's why we don't do it. Because it's hard to approach another man when you see him slipping in and out of pocket. It's hard. That's why we don't do it. That's why we be like, yeah, well, hopefully one day he learns.
but in that manhood is being a man and stepping up to that friend and say, listen, you're out of pocket. That was wrong.
It is, but it's a struggle. Because just like you said, people, a lot of time it's hard to receive. Because you don't want to come at one thing being holier than thou and being this super Cosby guy that I know it all, I've been through it all. You know, you got to find a way to say, you know, that's not how you talk to women. That's not how you, you know, some of the coworkers I have, the way they talk to women is appalling and offends me.
Yeah.
But that's the norm. That's how they roll in the masses. That's how they roll. You know what I mean? That'd be me fighting the whole army. So at some point I'd be like, well, y'all just have to watch me do it a different way because I'm not rolling like y'all roll.
Sometimes, Tom, they are, women are different. You know what I'm saying? They're not all the same. Like, you know, I hate to go back to her again, but my ex-girl, she didn't, I'm not the type of person that really gets mad at somebody, you know what I'm saying? If I got something to say, I'm going to say it to you, and it's going to be over after I say it. So I'm not like the person to keep it going. But she is. So she'll take me to a point where I get mad at her and cuss and scream at her, blah, blah, blah. And then she look at me and smile and say, you know what? I love you. And I go, what the hell? I'm just cussed you out. Just, you know, I want you, just leave me alone, blah, blah. And she's like, that means you love me. If you got mad at me, that means you love me. But if I got somebody else, this other girl I was dealing with, she's just the opposite. If I yell and cuss at her like that, oh, no, she ain't had nothing else to do with me. So they're not all the same. Some react differently to certain things. You know what I'm saying?
And it all goes back to childhood. I mean, you look at your current lady. What was her home situation like?
Right. Her daddy messed around. Mom left him. But that joker come over the house every other day. He lives like, you know, two blocks away. You know,
so they have a relationship.
Oh, they had a great relationship. He
there
loved
you
me
go.
To death. He loved me to death. You know, me and her used to date before I got married to my second wife, we used to date. And we just remained friends, but now we're starting to see each other, and it's working out great. It's working out really great so far. So, you know, all relationships start out great the first time.
For sure.
But every time me and her, like, we hang out, like, I'm an electrician. I did a lot of work in her home. And every time we were out at the stores or something, everybody said, man, y'all are a cute couple. Y'all make a great – how long y'all been married? We were like, no, we ain't married. That joker crazy. She said, no, that joker crazy. Y'all don't know. I said, y'all don't know. Shoot. You know, we starting to work it out. We need to see what she had a bad relationship. She came out of a bad one. And I just came up, you know, with my girl about a month ago, and we've just been kicking it, man. It's been great.
Well, that's
you know?
Good, because, I mean, you bring up a good point, because, and I'm not making excuses, brothers, don't get me wrong, but there are a lot of women out here who, unfortunately, are damaged goods. And what I mean by that is that when they do have a head of household, you know, they bring all the drama. Like, you know, just an example. I'm not saying, you know, but I mean, an example where she like, if you ain't cursing me out or beating me up or cheating on me, then, you know, you don't love me.
Yeah.
And it's like, what in the world? What is wrong with you? You know, and it's unfortunate how their life experiences, their child, all the way back to their childhood, you know, even in your other girl situation, you know, where you say her father was a drunk, you know, and I'm sure that she probably witnessed him, you know, maybe, you know, I'll leave that up to assumption, but she may have witnessed her father doing that, you know, treating her mother that way. So that's how, you know, she, that's why she wants you to do it.
Well, that's important because women look at that, they are monkey see, monkey do too. So they are looking at their fathers or these boyfriends that's messing with their mother as, I guess this is what manhood is. I'm supposed to be getting cursed out. I'm supposed to.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You just, I mean, look, that's the same thing with us. We say them, but we see our fathers do it. We see our uncles do it. You know what I'm saying? Curse them out, slap them, whatever. If you had an abusive dad, you know, you saw that. That's how he handled his problems. You know, there's a lot of guys that deal with this. All they see, that's all they know, you know. Dad didn't want to do no diapers, so I'm not doing diapers. Dad didn't wash no dishes, so guess what? I'm not washing dishes. Dad didn't take out the trash, didn't clean up. He just gave orders. That's the kind of house I'm around. You can't, in 2011, give no orders. You'll get divorced.
Yeah.
I mean, not so much orders, Tony, but like you saying, like compromise with, like, diapers and stuff like that.
My dad didn't compromise. My dad gave orders, too.
He's like, look here. I want this house clean. I don't care who clean it, but it's three y'all here. It's me, my father, my sister. It better be clean when I get home. You know what I'm saying?
I think that was all of our generation because my dad was the same way.
But nowadays it's different because it's like, you know, you don't want to see your family. I don't want to talk to my family like my father talked to me. I thought it was wrong for him to do something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
So I learned how not to be in certain situations from my dad.
Wow.
That's heavy.
Me too.
Yeah,
well, wait a minute. So here's a question. Are we messing up manhood by changing the rules?
It's a personal thing of how you want your – I don't want my kids to say, damn, my dad was an asshole, because that's what I think of my father sometimes. It wasn't until maybe the last 5 years that me and my father actually could sit down and talk without, you know, grabbing each other's necks. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I still love my dad. Don't get it twisted now. Me and my dad, I look just like him. I act just like him. You know, he would love this show for real. But cause he's a wholly different person. He was hellraiser back in his 20s and 30s. But now he's in his 60s. He's a whole different person. He's a deacon of the church. And he told me like 20 years ago he's going to be a deacon of the church. I said, what? Who do y'all worshiping? Satan over there, Joker? That's a deacon? I said, they ran out of men. It was like 5 men in the church and 4 others are deacons, right? So I just let it happen, right? He was like, you know what? He said, he looked me dead in my face, said, I'm a changed man. He said, you one day you'll see that I'm changed and you're just like me. And he's been right. I ain't going to lie. He's been right. I'm just like him.
I heard a testimony where a pastor had been pastoring church for over 20 years, and his dad never walked into his church.
Stepdad? Stepdad.
His real dad.
No, I can see that.
Oh, and, you know, never walked in his church, never saw one of his sermons, and wasn't saved. And his wife, being the second half, said they were sitting down, him and his mom and his wife, and she said, you know, your father's going to come and he's going to get saved in your church. And here's the pastor saying, whatever.
He said whatever.
He said whatever because he felt like you know, I'm a man of God, I'm a man of the cloth, but my daddy is my daddy.
Exactly.
And I know who he is.
You know, I know who he is. He's not going to come in my church. He hasn't done it this long. Why would he do it now? And he said maybe 2 weeks later, his dad walked in, and he looked up, and he was up in the front, ready to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, men can change.
Yeah.
So does manhood involve change?
Absolutely.
Well, that's just life in general. You got to change. I mean, you get more mature. You get, you know, it's just a life change. It's just a life thing. Some people grow up. Some people don't. I mean, that's just the facts of life. Either you're going to grow up or you're not. Either you're going to change things. Things always change, but they always come back to what they are. True.
I got a question.
Go ahead, because I still haven't got my monkey wrench in.
Oh, well, I got a question, and it's right along those lines. I got a relationship with my dad, and it's all right. You know, I talk to him every now and then. And when I say every now and then, I mean, like, occasions. And he doesn't live in this state. But, and you all know I'm saved, and it is what it is. But if you were to ask me, is my father, I would tell you I don't know. You know, and I was listening to that same testimony that Patrice was just talking about, and I was thinking, I was like, I don't even know if my own father. And that just goes to show you how I was raised. You see what I'm saying? It wasn't a house of prayer, wasn't a house of go to church, wasn't a house of do the right thing, none of that. You know, it's just based upon, you know, how some people say, well, if you're a good person, you're going to heaven. Whatever. You know what I'm saying? But I don't even know if he's saved. Now, me being the head of my household, the man that I am, and the question I'm going to pose, is it something that I should do to go back and revisit that with him and say, you know, what's your status? You know, I mean, how do you feel about each other's life? How do you feel about Jesus? Is that something that I need to talk to my father about, or just say he's the man, he should figure out on his own?
Well, let me say a couple things, Tony. And I say that it sounds like God has put it on your heart.
Okay.
So I think you've already got your answer. But the second part I want to ask is that does he know about what you do on Tuesday night? Does he have any idea what you do on Tuesday nights?
I talked to him about it in the beginning, and it was like, yeah, it sounds good, and that was pretty much the gist of it.
Yeah, yeah. Our responsibility is only, you know, to put it out there to make sure that people are aware. But I think your challenge is going to be finding that method, you know, to really dig deep and, you know, find out where he is, you know, spiritually. And that's what you have to figure out, because I think God has already impressed upon you that it's your job.
Well, at least ask. Yeah. So,
just,
you know,
for asking a question?
I just say, you know, I sense from the question that was posed, I sense that
wasn't
you
no
have your answer.
Wasn't no passion in the question? No, that was a different question.
I'm just saying that the question I throw back to you is that you're going to have to, or God is going to have to show you, you're going to have to ask God to show you how to, you know, cross that bridge. You know,
okay,
how
look,
to.
Okay. Let me give you some history.
Okay.
His mom, my grandmother, was in the church, I mean, every week, member of this, that, I mean, pretty much built the church. His mother, okay? His brother came to the Lord and got saved, pretty much built the church. Okay, and they both passed away, and he was at the funeral, and he heard their homecoming of how they both gave their life to God and how great they were being Christians. He heard all this. You see what I'm saying? So he's aware. We have a strong a spiritual background when it comes to his parents and his siblings.
Yeah.
Okay, so what would give me the strength to now? You see what I'm saying? Flip. So
yeah. And I think it goes back to, and I'll be brief, but I think it goes back to what you said, that we have to be patient. I mean, look at your life. You know, look at where you've been and look at where you are today. And
yeah.
I'll give you a quick example of popcorn kernels. Now, if anybody ever knows anything about popcorn kernels, you know, you buy the kernels, you put them in a popcorn pop or you heat them on the stove or whatever the case may be. But I'll give you all this quick example because each popcorn kernel was designed by Orville Redenbacher or whoever made it. They were designed to pop. So some, you know, you put to the heat and they pop right away. You know, some take a little more time, some take a little more time, some take even a little more time before they pop and they become popcorn and you can eat it. But don't you know that some of them kernels never pop? And why I say that is because even God, you know, God purposed us all to quote unquote pop. Now, some of us, we just need a little bit of trial by fire. We like, woo, you know, thank you, Jesus. I'm on your side. I don't need any more of that trial and tribulation. With some other folks, it takes a little more. Some other folks, it takes a little more. And some other folks never pop. And,
wow.
You know, it's, you, I mean, you have to realize that. But the reality is that God purposed us all, just like Redenbacher purposed all those kernels to pop. He didn't, you know, put them in the bottle for you to have kernels in the bottom of your bowl and you couldn't eat them, you know, when he made them, when he put them in the store for you to buy. So, but you have to realize that putting somebody to the heat, they may not pop at the same, just like you say, he's got the whole spiritual background, you know, all the things are going on, it's right there. He should have popped by now.
Mm-hmm.
But he needs a little more heat.
That's assuming that he has the ability to choose life.
Exactly.
You see, as you study and you find out that God is the one that saves, it's not by us.
Yes.
It's by God. That's a whole different deal. See, because somebody that is spiritually dead does not have the ability to choose God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Unless he's drawn by the Spirit. If he's not drawn by the Spirit, you can put as much heat on him as you want, and he's not going to pop.
Yeah.
Now, let me add one more thing to that. How y'all doing, fellas? I'm late.
What's
on
up,
the
brother?
Call, but I'm here.
You good. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, we have to realize also that even Jesus Christ in his own hometown, people didn't listen to him.
Mm.
So your father may look at your life and admire what you do from the outside, but all you can do is place that thought to him. And he's got to select that, you know, and you can't look at yourself and go, well, did I do something wrong because he didn't pick up on it? Because when you chose your path, it's just what I just said. You chose it. So no one else chose it for you. So we have, you know, we can place that actual identity in front of them. We can give them an example to live by, but it's up to them to make those choices to actually live by that.
Good words. So, you know, all we have to do is, you know, sometimes we need to do a little more. And I think that's the answer to your question, Tony. I think that's absolutely.
And again, you are 100% correct because it is definitely my business to know.
Yeah.
It's definitely my business to know where he stands. And right now, I don't know. You have to be careful how you go about it, too, because you don't want to run them away.
Yeah.
No.
But the other thing is, it's hard to witness to your parents.
Mm.
That's not the easiest thing. You got to be real tactful with that one.
Yeah,
and I think it's difficult to witness, period. But your greatest sermon is your walk. And I think that what's important is that you don't limit it to your father. You know, I think that, like you said, in your workplace, you may not have a chance to sit down in the break room and talk to your coworkers about, you know, how they treat their wife or about how you're living for God or anything like that. But they're watching you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we just, you know, don't don't limit it. You know, I mean, you gotta. It's different. You're gonna have different strategies for each person, whether it be the brother in the workplace or your father. And you just gotta, you know, you just gotta pray to God to give you the right words and the right situation for, you know, you to allow to share and witness. And, you know, what we forget too is that sometimes we're only seed planters. You know, somebody else may reap that bounty. You know, but, you know, a lot of times we as Christians, we think that, you know, I should plant a seed, I should see, you know, water, and then it's going to grow. You know, whereas that's not the case. And I say that because I teach high school teenagers on Sunday school. And I've been teaching probably for like 5 years. And when I first started teaching them, I used to get frustrated because I'd be like, man, you know, and not to toot my own horn, but, you know, I lays it out. And I can relate to them. I get where they sit. But they weren't changing. You know, I'm just like, what in the world? What am I doing, God? I don't even want to do this anymore. They're just not getting it. You know, I had a great lesson, and they just sitting there like bumps on a log, and then, you know, they're cursing and carrying on. But what changed is that when they go off to college and they come back and they say, Mr. Roddy, you know what? You know, I'm doing the right thing, or, you know, making the right decisions. And, you know, I'm thankful that I even get that little part, because sometimes they go off and they don't come back or whatever. But, you know, I know that I planted some seeds. Now, it's, you know, God has got somebody else in their path that's going to water, that's going to reap it, and that's for his glory. You know, but we have to realize that we may only be seed planters. That's it. God just may want you to just plant a little seed and just keep on, you know, what you keep on. You know, you may not see them. Yeah, you may not see them doing backflips in the aisle for Christ on Sunday. You may never see that. But our responsibility is to plant the seed at a minimum. Mm-hmm.
Good words. You know, and that's why I come on this call, man. I'm so glad you guys invited me.
Are you serious? A lot of the guys didn't get that, but, yeah.
I got it.
They might get that tomorrow, Tony. Oh man, that's a good word.
Yeah. But seriously, good words. And for the record, by the next time we talk, I will know his status.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's heavy stuff right there.
That's real heavy. I'll talk to everybody.
Where's this monkey wrench, man? It's almost 11 o'clock.
It is almost 11 o'clock. And the monkey wrench for tonight is, if your wife cheats on you, does that affect your manhood?
Wow.
Can you take her back?
That ain't no monkey wrench.
Wow.
Wow.
I think I can answer. Go ahead, Mike.
I can answer. I've been married twice, and both of them cheated, right? It's got to do with you. You know what I'm saying? You got to look at it and say, hey, they cheated on me. Why should I be? I'm not a, you know, either you're going to feel like a victim, or you're going to feel like, say, you know what? They're lost. You know what I'm saying?
But
they're lost.
But, you know, the whole thing is, all right, is it okay to make a mistake once? Do you say, all right, we'll get through this? Because that could be a man, right?
Hold on. It always depends on how they come at you.
Is saying, are we going to work through this together?
It all depends on how they come at you with it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, yeah, I cheated on you. Yeah. Get you. That's the way my second wife treated it, you know. And I say, you know what? You're lost. You're going to have nothing but pain the rest of your life, so I'm left her alone. You feel me?
Yeah.
My first wife came to me crying with it. You know, I cheated on you. I know you're a good dude. Blah, blah, I'm sorry. It happened long, long time ago. Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you know what? It's okay. I forgive you. It's all good.
Trying to get it off her conscience.
Right. It's good to get, you know, she was just getting back to church, and I guess it was on her heart a lot, you know, but even though we've been separated for like 7-8 years, you know, it was still on her heart, and she felt bad about it. I was like, we're all right. I'm not mad at you. It's all good. It's in the past, staying in the past, you know? So it always depends on you how you take it. But I was like, then after thinking about it, my first wife, I thought of all the stuff I've done for her, You know what I'm saying? Working overtime. When I was working overtime, she was cheating. You know what I'm saying? And she said for a minute, she didn't know whether my third son, my second son was mine or not. She didn't know it was mine or the other guy's.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's...
That's like some Maury type stuff.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, it's like
a totally different type of monkey wrench right there.
Right.
But you said something key. I don't think the brothers caught it, but you said you were working overtime.
Yeah, she never worked overtime.
And
she always,
like she did to me.
And why I say that is because a lot of times we think, you know, to make sure we got our man card and everything, you know, we think we need to, you know, bring in the ducats, you know, working the overtime and all this other stuff, whereas a lot of time our wives need us there emotionally, physically. They don't need you working the overtime. Now, I'm just saying as an example. I'm not saying, you know, in your particular situation, but you were working overtime. She was lonely. I mean, that's the bottom line. Had you not been working overtime, maybe she wouldn't have cheated. Maybe she would have. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying that you say you were working. You were not present.
I mean, it wasn't like working time where I was gone for, you know, I worked 70, 80 hours a week. It wasn't like that. It was more like 60 hours a week, and I had to do a couple hours over. But we got three kids at that time, so there's no need for you. You got enough to keep you busy with three kids in the house, especially three young ones.
But obviously not.
And then what it was, when I stopped working overtime, she developed this friendship with this guy. And when I stopped and I was able to take care of the children, because, you know, I'm off for a couple of months, off for 3 or 4 months, and that's when she started seeing this guy. She used to say, hey, I need to stay over. I'll be over home about, used to get home around 6, now she get home around 8:30. So you wouldn't think, I don't even think nothing's going on then. Then she comes back and tell me, yeah, something was going on at the time between me and this other dude. So finally she had cheated with 2 or 3 other guys. It wasn't the first time. And I was like, wow. Well, okay, well, I mean, it's all.
But that brings up another point. That brings up a point of that definition of manhood. Your definition, you're seeing as doing whatever it takes to have my family live the good life.
Well,
and you're not on the same page with your woman when she's saying, my man's not at the house.
Look, I mean, when me and my first wife got divorced, she put it on me. It was my fault because I was cheating on her. So I'm going to be honest, I was cheating on her big time. I mean, more than just 1 or 2. It was like 3 or 4 a week. You feel me? It was like that. You know, it was crazy. It was hard to keep them all straight. I was cheating so much then. But I wasn't getting something at home. You see what I'm saying? But she had cheated way before I started doing it. So when we broke up, it was like, you know what, you doing your thing, I do my thing. Let's just, you know, let's go separate ways, you know. why are we still married? It don't make sense to be married, you know. But getting back to the manhood issue of it, it's like I've done all, well, we were supposed to get divorced. You see what I'm saying? My thing is, I was supposed to get divorced from you. You're cheating on me, and you wonder why I'm not getting any sex at home. That's the only reason why I'm cheating. You see what I'm saying? So I did everything I could as a man. In that situation, I worked overtime. I provided for you. You always drove the newest car. You know what I'm saying? You never had to work overtime. You never had to, not once did you have to walk since you've been with me since high school. You never had to walk. You know what I'm saying? I took care of you. I took care of her so much that when she left, she had to stay with me for 2 weeks because she didn't know how to call an electric company to get electrical on. You know what I'm saying?
But sometimes we can make it too good for them. You know, maybe she did need to walk occasionally. You know what I mean?
Every time I saw her, she said, the biggest mistake I ever did was letting you go. Because I told her, once you get divorced from me, I am not coming back. You can come back right now. I was dating this girl for 2 years before we got divorced, and I was like, you know what? I'll leave and come back to the fam, but things are going to change. This is the way it's going to be. If you can't handle me running things my way, don't come back. And she said, you know what? I like the way things are. I'm running my own life, blah, blah, blah. You do your thing. She said that was the worst mistake she ever did because she'd been out here with these knuckleheads, and she said, I should have stayed with you.
I'm going to ask a question because I think he was talking about, you know, the effects of cheating when we found out that our spouse has cheated. And is there a difference when you find out that your spouse is cheating because you couldn't sexually satisfy your wife, or when you find out that your wife is cheating in response to cheating, is one easier to swallow than the other?
I would say, yeah, Tony. I mean, the performance thing is a whole different ball game. You know what I'm saying? Because you don't know.
You don't know.
You don't know if you're not satisfying your woman. You know what I'm saying? You don't know that. But if she's cheating and you're cheating, you know, she might be doing it for other reasons. You know?
But do you really want to know?
Yeah, I want to know.
But is that pride or manhood that's affecting?
That's health.
Good word.
I want to know if she's having unprotected sex or not. Don't you? I mean, come on, there's AIDS out here, herpes,
yeah.
All that other stuff. I want to know.
Yeah.
You know, I want to know if I need to go get checked out. Hold up. That's exactly how. Matter of fact, that's how I found out my first wife was cheating. I caught chlamydia and gonorrhea, and I said,
"Wow."
I haven't messed around with anybody in 6 months. Only person I've been sleeping with is my wife.
Wow.
You know. Mm-hmm. Months, and that's how I found out. Doctor looked at me and said, that's gonorrhea and chlamydia. I was like, for real? He just looked at it and told me what it was, and I was pissed. And then, you know, this is another story, but the doctor was
I know you were burning up.
I wasn't hurting.
Pun intended.
You know what I'm saying? It goes right. I was mad. I was more mad than anything. I was mad as hell. But then the doctor kind of chilled me out with these little. Because he was gay. I guess he was gay. I'm going to say he was gay. Because he's looking at me like, that was, He said, you sure you're not on the D? He kept asking about this is the first time I ever heard about this. This is like 10, 12 years ago. First time I heard about the DL. What's the DL, doc? So, you know, us men get together and have fun together and touch each other. I was like, look, man, I'm already pissed off that my wife fucking around on me, and you gonna go with the gay shit. I said, look, you keep talking like that, you gonna need a doctor. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm not the one. This is not the time for jokes. You know, it's not the time for jokes. And he said, you know, okay, I'm just trying to lighten you up, Mike. I'm not really gay. I just was messing with you. Because we all, you know, we got a good accord, me and the doctor. But I thought he was gay. For a minute, I thought he was gay. I was like, what are you talking about? But that's what I told him. I called him and told him. As soon as I got a doctor, I called him and said, hey, tell your boyfriend, whoever you're sleeping with, they just got gonorrhea and chlamydia because I just came from the doctor, and that's what he told me I got. I just had my 35-year checkup. You know what I'm saying?
Just lay low on the cursing because, you know, we do record these calls. So.
Okay, I'm sorry. But
Mike.
Sorry.
but how did that make you feel to the point of, like, why is she doing that? Why does she feel the need to give it to somebody else?
I didn't even dawn on that issue, for real. It was like, when it was happening, it was like, you're cheating. You need to take care of that for health reasons. You got to realize, that same year, her sister died of AIDS.
Wow.
It's like, whoa, you know, you just gave me something. You know, yes, I've been out there too, but yes, I don't have any outside kids. I don't have, you know, I always strap up. Because I don't want to bring nothing home to you. To me, that's the ultimate thing. You can cheat. That's cool. Everybody's been cheated on or will have cheated. You know, I'm not saying everybody, but you know what I'm saying. Majority have cheated. But to bring something home from somebody else that is unnecessary, it's just crazy. That's worse. I'd rather have you cheat on me with three guys than to burn me with one. That's just me. I can't
gotcha.
Everybody else, but for health reasons. I don't know if you have unprotected sex or not. Mm-mm.
So let me ask you a question. How do you feel about cheating now?
Cheating now? Because I'm not married now, I can say this. It don't bother me as much. You know what I'm saying? It probably bothers me less now than ever before. Because, like, you know, my ex-girl says she cheated, you know, for spite. It was like, okay. You know, she was mad because I wasn't mad at her. It's like, are you serious? No, I'm not mad at you. We were all together.
It's like you already done that. You've seen it. So
it's like a rerun for me, right? Because my second wife was, as y'all know, was just the craziest woman to laugh. I survived that, man. I can walk. I can almost walk on water. I'm almost guaranteed. I can almost walk on water after surviving that.
So let me make sure I'm hearing this right. So if you get married again,
which I seriously doubt, but go ahead.
But if you get married again, and she cheats on
you,
what's going to be your response?
Well, let's, you know, well, if you like him that much, let's just break this off, you know?
Just break it off, walk away.
Yeah, walk away. I mean, I would walk away without even batting an eye, without even crying. You, it wouldn't even hurt. After my second wife, nothing can hurt me, man. Nothing. I'm like invincible. I'm telling you. After that, going to jail and all that mess there, and, you know, not wondering why is she doing this. And the worst part is, it's who she slept with that makes it rough. She slept with a guy. My wife slept with a guy that I worked with. Right? So that's my job, right? And I'm a bowler. She slept at a couple of guys at the bowling alley. So that's my pleasure. She know that's all I do is work and bowl. So she got me on both ends. So I, you know what I'm saying?
You can't concentrate
on your job if the guy's calling your wife up saying, hey, baby, they going to get some more tonight or whatever.
That's rough.
He tells me all about it. He tells me all about it. But I had to hear it. I didn't want to punch him in the face because I had to learn how she actually was. You know what I'm saying? I got to learn out what I'm dealing with. And I found out, hey, that is not worth going back to at all. And that's one thing we have to learn. I mean, got to find out how good is your woman to you. Is this a one-time mistake or is this a on-occurring thing?
Pattern. Is this
her M.O.? You know what I'm saying? That's what you got to find out for yourself. I can't tell you. Yeah, it's all good for if she cheats on you, but I can just tell you that, you know, there's a lot of women out here, man, and you'd be surprised how many married women try to come over here. And I'd be like, no, I don't do that. I don't mess around with nobody's marriage because your husband will kill me because I know I've been in his shoes. Mm-mm, I don't do that.
And I understand. I understand because that's taboo.
Yeah, you don't do nothing that. You don't want to do nothing with nobody else that you wouldn't want done to you. That's just how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want my wife cheating on me, so why cheat with somebody else's wife?
Yeah, and that scorned woman, and that's what I'm hearing, Mike. I'm hearing that she was scorned for something. Because anytime she's going to strategically cheat. There was a pattern. She was like a Navy SEAL cheater. I mean, look. She cheated in the areas where it was going to get back to you.
Yeah, that's what you're talking about. My second wife. Okay, yeah. Definitely.
So
my job.
Hooker and your boo. Come on, man. It's going to get back to you.
Yeah.
Most definitely. It got back to me, and they were like, "She's sending you to jail." All the things I heard she done did. Yeah, that guy. And she got you in jail? She said, oh, my. People were like, they were shocked. Matter of fact, I went out with my boy. We got placed in Clinton called Fish Market. And I ran into three of her friends Friday night. And they were like, yeah, she talks about you all the time. I was like, what? Look, what you talking about? How many times you put me in jail? They go, no. How much she really miss you and all that? I said, you got to be crazy.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
She misses me? You miss going to court and all that other stuff. That's the only thing you could miss from me. That's what I remember the most about my marriage. Trying to get divorced.
Trying to get around all that cheating.
Yeah, not actually the cheating, but just trying to get rid of her. Trying to get her out of my mind because before that, we were the best of friends. You know, we did everything together. You know? And to have somebody flip on you is just the worst. You know, you think you seen her do it to other people, but you're like, oh, she loves me. She'll never do that to me. Like you see her cuss her mother out or something like that, or see her getting to it with her siblings, and you'd be like, oh, she'll never do that to me. Bet your butt she will do it to you.
Because that's just like Andrew said earlier. If a person shows you it, that's who they are.
Yeah, man. That's exactly it, Andrew. That is exactly it. They will show you. And you got to... See, my thing is, second wife, when they cheat on you, you got to be man enough to walk away. Because the real you's going to be like, you know, I love this person. This is my heart. But you got to be strong enough to say, hey, she don't deserve me. Because I'm 42 right now, right? And what I know now is that for every time one of them brothers go to jail, every time one of them turns gay, every time one of them do something crazy and gets themselves murdered, there's even more women for me out here. That somebody else deserves a good man like me. You know, we're not a dime a dozen. Not like you said earlier, not tooting our own horn, but it's the truth.
It is, but how many? And here's my question: I mean, how many are out? If you think about it, I mean, you think there's 10 women for you, 5 women for you, 6?
Right now, I would say on the real, I would say at 42, I say 7 in DC area. 7-1 out here for real.
I'm not talking about
that girl working at McDonald's. I'm not talking about that girl, you know, that's got. I'm talking about like my friend Jay. Let's call her Jay. She got 2 houses, right? She's renting one out. She got 2 $400,000 homes.
Now listen.
She got plenty of money. She don't need a man for nothing but whatever. But see,
forget about her. Forget about her, forget about the money, forget about all that.
Yeah.
Is she the woman for you if she didn't have no money?
Yeah, she would be cool because me and her get along. Like, you would not believe how great a friend she's been to me. You know what I'm saying? It would shock most guys, most people. Like, she had a boyfriend. For real, I was, when my second marriage happened thing, I was out on the street basically, you know? So I called her up and said, hey, I need a place to stay for about a weekend or 2 weeks. And she's like, oh, yeah, come on over. It's all good. That's a friend. You know what I'm saying?
I got you. I'm with you.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
But you asked me how many women were for me. I say the 6-7 right now in this age group. But as you get older, it just keeps going up.
Well, look, this is good. I wanna keep it moving right quick because it is 11 o'clock and want to get a couple more questions in. Maybe this might be the last question before we go into open mic, and then we can pick it back up in open mic. Hopefully this might be another monkey wrench. I don't know, but I'll leave that up to y'all. But when your wife doesn't look at you as the head of household, how do you win back your manhood?
You can't win it back.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, you can.
No, it's done.
Yes,
you
can.
That's somebody breaking into the house and then you shoot them. What? How are you going to get your manhood back?
Slowly but surely.
Man,
get it back.
I mean, you got to put your foot down and stand in that position. You can't, if she don't look at you at that and you just lay down and accept that, then that's what it's going to be.
Yep.
You know, if you're going to sit there and let her look at you as if you're not the man of the house, put your skirt on.
I see. I mean, what are you saying about a man of the household? Because, like, me and Jay have had this discussion, too. She's like, well, I need a guy that's going to just take charge and tell me what to do a little bit, but not so much. And my thing is, if you want to go out to eat, I don't care where we eat. As long as I get fed, I'm cool. But when it comes to buying a home or buying a car, the big stuff, oh, I'm going to fight you on them things. You know what I'm saying?
What I'm talking about is that when the wife doesn't trust your judgment and she's taking over making the final decisions, not the compromise decisions where you compromise, but the final decisions.
Yep. You talking about where she don't even discuss stuff with you no more?
No.
Yeah.
Or
come in.
Exactly. Or when everything she says, you say, yeah, it's all right, honey, go ahead. Yeah, it's all good, honey, go ahead. Oh, go ahead, help yourself, honey. They don't want that. We think they do. They don't want that. They want a firm man to be like, wait a minute, this is how we're going to do this thing here.
Because I said so.
Because I said
so. Yeah, okay. You okay. Well, it seems like I always get the crazy ones. Some of them like it, some of them don't. You know what I'm saying? Be honest with you. Some of them play that role where it's like they'll pick fights with you. I don't get that picking the fight.
Yeah, but that's you said something interesting. You say you always get the crazy ones.
Oh.
Don't they say you are what you attract? Something like that.
So I get the crazy ones. I get mad. She brought me an outfit. I mean, the whole time. No. Hold up. She brought me the whole outfit, even the underwear, right? And underwear were a little tight. You know how, you know, a little tight. So I didn't wear the underwear.
Brother T.R.
I came back home. She cursed. She cursed me.
Good to see you, brother.
Is this T.R.?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Brother T.R., this is Brother Beano, man. Listen, man, I just got off work, man, so I'm just kicking in. I know I missed out on a ton. Help me catch me up with what y'all talking about.
Mr. Holmes, go ahead and fill this video in.
Listen, this is what we're talking about. The topic tonight is, has my wife taken my man card? But we're really just talking about manhood. And the difference between manhood and when manhood is right and when manhood is not right. So we're at the point now where the last question is, when your wife doesn't care about your manhood, she makes all the judgments in the house. Don't even ask you. Just do what she want to do.
Time to walk.
Time to walk.
Time to walk. She don't respect you no more. So out of respect comes cheating, you know, hanging out late with her friends, doing what she want to do. And you better
do the same. Yeah, but we have to. You're right. I mean, I hear you. And my response to that is we have to kill that mentality. Because that's the wrong mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong mentality. You got married, it's time to walk. It's time to fix it. It's time to fix it. Just like the intimacy goes away in most marriages, you got to find a way to get it back. You gotta find a way to get mad. I've been married twice. I'm not gonna get married a third time. I'm not gonna do it.
Yeah.
Me and this one gonna go the race, the distance. And I'm gonna make sure of it. You know, I'm not taking any more applications. Employment is open. We gotta make it work.
I like that. I actually do like that. That's a good way of putting it.
Listen. If divorce is an option, you're going to get divorced. Period.
Wow.
You're going to get divorced. If it's an option, if running a race, if quitting is an option, you're going to quit.
That's crazy right there.
That's good talk, though.
That is good talk.
Yeah.
Take the option out of the equation. No, there's no such thing as divorce. That's what my wife told me. When we got married, she said, we're getting married, there's no such thing as divorce. Don't mention it, because it ain't going to happen. Don't bring it up, because we ain't going to talk about it. Period.
Wow. You got to work it out.
This is about man card. A man having a man card in a marriage means you have to make it work. And I'm not saying it because it, like it's easy, because trust me, it's hard work. It's the hardest job I've ever had.
Yep.
But I got to stay in there. I got to show up for work every single day.
You got to show up for work outside of the home and show up for work inside the home.
That's right.
Because keeping that wife happy is a whole lot of work.
It's a lot of work. Just like Rodney said, sometimes you do not see the accolades. You don't see it. You don't see the good things that come from it for a while. Sometimes you gotta just sit there and be like, I gotta keep working. Gotta keep trying. And one day she'll say, you know what, I noticed something different about you. And that'll give you that strength to keep going and keep going and keep going. But you can't just be like, I'm out of here. Because then that'll be you. That'll be the person that you are. That's a trait. That's a person that's just gonna quit.
Yep. Huh. And the devil wants you to quit.
Yeah.
Got another one. Yep.
Quit. And right now at 42, whatever you said, 43, 45, man, that's tough going out there and starting over.
Yeah.
It's tough. Yeah. You know that. It's tough, man. And who wants to be the old man at the club?
Not me.
Wow.
It's tough.
And you know the old man at the club, easy to spot.
look at Tony over there in the corner.
Yeah. Everybody know him by name. They go there.
Old Tony.
Yeah.
Oh man, good word.
This is good stuff, sir.
Yeah.
Good stuff,
good
man.
Stuff.
Well, does anybody have anything else? that they want to talk about manhood? I mean,
it's to each his own. You know what I'm saying? My thing is this: find it in yourself to like Tony said. You know, his version is, you know, to stick with it, work it out. Boom. My suggestion is that's a whole lot of work. If I lost my manhood, you know, let me just start over with another one. You know, that's my perspective on it. But to each his own. That's all I gotta say. But I like Tony's. Don't get me wrong. I do like Tony's.
You respect Tony's.
I respect Tony's. But that's a whole lot of work, man.
That's a whole lot of work.
What did Tony say, though? What did Tony say? That ain't easy.
Where in life did you ever hear that being married was easy?
I've never heard it. My mom and dad were married like 14 years, and they...
Relationships and be like, wow, man, y'all 60 years. Wow, how'd y'all do it? Well, you know, when I married my wife, I told her period point blank, before we make this move, let it be known, when you accept this, you done. That means that the rope is tied. It cannot be cut because I don't do things but once. And I say, when we do this for good.
Brother T-Hawk.
Yes, sir. That's it.
I respect
that. And we've been through some thick, we've been through some thin, we had to do some reclaiming and everything else. But like you say, when you lose that manhood, you just got to take it back.
Okay.
You know, it's plain and simple. You got to put things back in the order that they're supposed to be in. Because being married, you can get comfortable, and you can things will slip out of the order that they should be in. But when you see that, you got to put them back where they are. Because we like, you know, being married, we give in to a lot to our wives on certain situations. But when we see that they, you know, how they say you take an inch and you're running a mile.
Uh-huh.
When we see they starting to run a half mile, it's time to really back in.
Yeah.
And go, hey. You're not single like your girls or whoever. So let's put a stop to that now.
Bino, did you want to say something?
Hey, Brother T.
Yes, sir.
Brother T. Quick question, man. What nights do they have for the ladies that your wife has that thing that I got about four different ladies down here in Florida that would love to click on your wife's conference call.
My wife has never had a conference call.
It's every other Thursday, though.
Yeah.
The same thing at 9 o'clock?
Yes, it's 9 to 10. And I think this Thursday they're up again. But,
yeah. I'll send you the information on that.
Okay. So it's ladies that talk during Thursdays, right?
Yep.
Yes, every other Thursday, yep.
Every other Thursday.
Yep.
Every other Thursday, okay, because I told them about it, and it's like four different ladies down here in Florida that wanted to get on that conference call.
Wonderful.
No, dude, that's beautiful.
I'm gonna make a confession or a testimony or however you want to put it. And I've been on these calls since the beginning, and I have learned a lot from listening to you brothers, more than you probably think. You know, because I try to pay attention as much as I can. But the one thing that's really helped me in my marriage is, and this is going to be funny, because I have to give Peyton some credit.
That's funny right there.
Peyton always says that he gives us credit, and he's in training and all that stuff, and he's figuring out. But he said one key thing that has helped me when, you know, tell me what it right here, respond.
Respond versus react, yeah.
Respond before you react.
Yes, how you respond versus how you react.
Exactly. And that right there is so important in marriage, because a lot of times, we get mad and we react. And sometimes the reaction is bad. It could be reaction with a whole other woman. It could be reaction of looking up somebody from the past. It could be slapping your wife. It could be all kind of stuff. Just believing and going away for a weekend because she did something that was wrong. But what I've learned is to just chill, take a minute. And even if I got to call somebody else to get advice before I blow up at her, I'll do that. You know what I'm saying? And that, and learning how to forgive. I think forgiveness has helped me a lot because before I got saved, I didn't forgive anyone anything. And that's the first lesson I had to learn was how do you forgive as you have been forgiven? You know what I'm saying? And we have to do that with our wives because they're going to piss you off 9 times out of 10. You know, so for me, it was calm down, chill for a minute, assess the situation, and talk about it, opposed to just losing the handle and like Mike said, roll out. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, these calls have been really good in that respect for me.
Good words.
I'm just saying that's a lot of work. That's too much work.
Mike, I know it's a lot of work, man.
Hold on. I'm a firm believer in marriage. Trust me, I love married life. I love it. Don't get it twisted. I love the married life. But if I lost my manhood to a woman, it's a done deal, Joe. I might as well just go on. Because she's going to do what she's going to want to do. You know?
Yeah, but if I had to say this, and I don't want to keep talking. You don't lose your manhood to nobody. You give it away.
Wow. That's deep.
I'm going to lose my manhood to nobody. If I don't want it, I'm going to give it away.
that's good words right there.
Goodness.
Good words.
I'm ready to move on. You know, I haven't touched one thing. It starts with an F.
Family?
Nope. Finances.
Excuse me?
I mean, we've talked about this on a lot of calls. Where, you know, you support your wife and make sure she gets her education and she ends up making more money than you. And
wow.
Now the dominant factor in the house because
of
money.
You're still the man of the house. No matter how much money your woman makes, you're still the man.
Thank you.
You're still the man. It don't make a difference. He made $1 million. You know, you're still the man of the house.
But Mike, a lot of guys and a lot of women don't know that, and they don't act that way. They like, I'm making $1 million, and you making 30. You better get up. You better make sure my dinner's high, whatever the case may be. A lot of people don't realize that.
I mean, but making that million, probably, you know, she's going to spend a lot of time at work. You see what I'm saying? So
yeah.
She needs you just like if you was the woman of the house. She needs you to do things that she probably don't have time to do, making that $1 million. You see what I'm saying? That's why these women get half, because they say, hey, you would have had no house if it wasn't for me. You know, I didn't work. You know what I'm saying? You wouldn't have no house to come home to. You wouldn't have.
Look here. I ain't trying to be funny, but if my wife was making $1 million, be on the table, I had a house clean.
So you give up your man card? You be like, all right, don't make that money.
That's the whole thing. Like, that ain't giving up the man card.
Yeah, I mean,
he's doing what needs to be done in the house.
Because let me ask you a question. How many of us don't cook for our wife right now? How many of us don't do laundry if laundry need to be done and they at work? How many of us don't straighten up the house if the house need to be straightened up to help them out?
Yeah.
So you ain't giving up no man card. What you doing is making sure she happy.
Yeah. Happy wife, happy life.
I have to make a confession.
Because if you was bringing home $1 million.
Fine. Dang,
you know, she ain't considered to be a slave because she tending to your every need. She your wife.
Yep.
Yeah. Because, see, like, for me, I have to make a confession because, you know, I'm going into that role right now.
Mm-hmm.
My job is sort of just in it. No more 24/7. Whew, as a Friday. Whew, good Lord.
Uh-huh.
After 3 years, no more 24/7. However, you know, I have to find another job.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm still on payroll, but I'm on the, you know, almost on the bench until something comes through.
Right.
But in that, I have to respect my wife's wishes because my wife just got a new job at the hospital. but a second shift. So where I was responsible for taking the kids in the morning, she was responsible for picking them up, getting the homework done, getting the food and all like that ready in the evening. Now that's become my job.
Okay.
I think you put too much label on jobs. I think that's too much of a label. For real.
Think so?
Yeah, because either you're going to do what you're supposed to do in the house or your house is going to fall apart. Just
right.
Be honest with it. If you don't
yeah.
pick the kids up, what's going to happen?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Man, I'm going to lose money, and then they're going to put me in jail.
So you're doing what needs to be done in the home. And there's things you got to do in the home to take care of the home. It don't make a difference who's working. The home
is
taken care of.
That's why I say it don't make a difference who's making the money.
Right.
If the house
right.
is being taken care of, the house is going to be happy.
Right.
If you working 80 hours a week and the dinner is made, the house is clean, the breakfast is served, you're happy. And the
right.
same way the other way around.
Right.
It's about making sure that your house is in order and there's peace there. Because if there is no peace, there's going to be problems.
Yeah, but, you know, I have to say that I didn't feel like that until this week.
Mm-hmm.
My manhood
that's
or my ego, I don't know which one it
can
is.
Can I quickly say something to you?
Can you hear
me? Those things happen for a purpose.
That's what I said earlier.
Things happen for a purpose because for 20 years of being in the military, I was a breadwinner. And for the first time in 20 years, I was unemployed for 5 months, and I had to look at my wife bring home the paycheck. And it gave me a greater appreciation for the things that she did inside the house because now I was stepping up and doing them to make sure that everything was okay in the house. It was like, man, you do a lot around the crib.
Oh, yeah. I'm seeing that right now.
You know, where I thought you was just laying around the house all day long, that ain't so. It's a lot of stuff need to be done around here.
Yeah. Man, good Lord. Yeah, but you see the appreciation, though. You know, I have that understanding. But, you know, when you first know it happens, you know, you kind of go into a depressed state.
Yep. I mean, because you're used to being the number one.
Right.
And not giving up number. When I say you used to be the number one, I mean you used to being the one that, hey, when it needs to be done, you put on your cape and it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that cape usually never comes off.
Right. You know, and even me, I hit a state of depression at one point because, you know, I was like, okay, God, what you doing? You made me to be the head, not the tail, and I'm sitting here, and I don't even know which way to look no more.
But it's all about, you know, character, you know, and what they say, crises build character. I mean,
yep.
you don't really know what you're made of if you really got a man card until, you know, crises happen. And then it's like, as we say, how you respond versus how you react.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Man, y'all making some great points tonight, I'm trying to tell you. This is going to help out some men tonight.
Yes, sir.
You know, you don't know how your depression affects your family, too.
Here's one more thing to add to that. A lot of times, our wives are sitting back to see how we're going to respond in those situations, and they gain a greater respect for us when we can stand in that situation, hold our head up high, and still hold on to manhood.
Mm-hmm.
Because they look at it and say, that's my man right there. Even though I'm doing, you know, everything that I have to do to help him, still standing with his head up high and saying, it's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. We're going to make it.
But you know that man that you're talking about
mm-hmm.
is very little because there's a lot of men that just sit down on the couch and won't do nothing. Yeah, you know, and that ends up the wife being the man and
yep.
the woman, not only going out, and I think that's what pisses a lot of women off. I could be wrong, but, you know. You
they
know,
out there making the bacon, and you can't even make no bacon.
Right. You sitting at home, buddy, and you saying that, you know, you looking for a job, but you complaining.
Right.
But when they come home, you still got on the same drawers and T-shirt from this morning when they left.
And ain't even fried up no bacon. Could have made a bacon sandwich or something.
Then you're telling her to go make you a ham sandwich.
Right.
No. And, you know, like for me, you know, I use my situation because I just, it's fresh and I just went through it. You know, I got to the point where I was at bare bones, all the savings that I put aside was gone, and I was trying to figure out how we're going to pay the next month rent. And, you know, I told her, I said, look, I'm going to get my, I'm going to stop looking for the job and just get a job, because I was hitting every job fair, knocking on every door I could. And nothing was there.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what I do right now, this is temporary. This is just to pay the bills. It's not the job that is out there for me, but it's allowing me to pay the bills and go to school. You know, and her seeing everything I'm going through, knowing that I'm dissatisfied with the job I got, but still holding my head up and saying, we're going to be okay. Stop worrying about it. When I worry, you worry. Until then, you have no rights to worry up in my house. You know, she's like, okay, well, everything's fine.
Yeah. I said the exact same thing just the other, on Sunday. You know, we good. You know, because, you know, some reason, and this is how I know that, you know, God is on our side and he's looking after us, is that, just to make a long story short, we've been praying for a job for her for a while because, you know, when we were going through the deficits and all the stuff and jobs were laying off,
mm-hmm.
the hospital laid her off but then hired her back part-time. Not part-time, but on call. So
mm-hmm.
they hired her back to work but give you no benefits.
Right.
But I'm like, I'm cool. I got the new job because I got a job at the same time, 3 years ago. And you on my benefits, we good. We all right. We still living. And then this couple weeks ago, she got two offers at one time. And then the day she accepted those offers is the day my contract was beginning to end. So she took all three. One was a full-time with full benefits, and the other one were two on-call. You know, the one she had that was on-call, and then there was another one that she got on-call. So it was like, wow, that's a blessing that you get two job offers at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And here it is the next week, I'm finding out my task order is ended.
And what the lesson in that is that you are not the provider. God is the provider.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, you know, a lot of times we get into, you know, making the money, I'm making the bacon, I'm bringing in the $1 million or whatever the case may be. But we forget that God is the provider.
And to add on to that, the thing about it is that we have to remember is that as men, if you want to, and this is going to hit somebody, you know, hit you hard, in order for you to call yourself the man of the house, the head of the household, the one in charge, you got to be able to give that praise when it's going good, when it's going bad, when it's going right, and when it's going wrong.
There you go.
So you should never walk in your house and say about anything that's there, look at what I did.
Yeah, and we talk about the man card. Don't ever let the devil steal your man card.
Yep,
that's right.
You know, because the reality is that, you know, it's situations that happen, you know, and guarantee your wife is looking at how you're going to respond. Are you going to be running around hysterical, pulling your hair out, or, you know, your kids are watching like, daddy, you know, he's nervous, he's sweating. Everybody's watching.
Mm-hmm.
So don't let the devil, of all people, don't let him take your man card and, you know,
mm-hmm.
have you worrying and, you know, trying to figure out how you're going to make ends meet. God is the ultimate provider, period.
That is beautiful. That is beautiful, man. I appreciate everything. Does anybody have anything else to say before we shut this thing down? It's 11:40, I believe. 11:37, 11:38.
Well, I'm gonna try to make it every week from now on. I'm sorry I missed a few weeks. I'm back.
Well, welcome back, brother. Well, you're welcome back anytime, Mike. Anytime.
Anytime you're available, man. Get on this call and bring somebody.
Yeah.
As you saw, we had a lot of people on tonight and a lot of different conversations and a lot of thoughts on manhood.
Yeah. Hey, I got a question for you.
Yep.
Did we ever look into getting the cards done?
We got the cards done. I bring them on my, Sunday, on Wednesday for you. You going to church Wednesday? Oh, you out of town.
Oh, I will be back by then. Yeah, I'll be back.
All right. Yeah, I have some with me. I'll give you a whole handful that you can pass them out.
Okay.
And if not, I'll have them in my bag. I have some. I'll keep some in my bag on Sunday, too. So just have
right.
them on Sunday.
Yeah, Rob, I usually keep a few myself. So, you know, I'll get you some.
And, but, no, I'm in my travels, I run across a whole lot of people I can pass them to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But unlike Mike, you know, Mike came back. We have a lot of guys, unfortunately, that, you know, enjoy one time and never hear from him again. Mike came back.
You got to realize, I know Tony from when he was the other Tony. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you know the other Tony.
Yeah. And to see him now, then see him when I really knew him, it's a whole different person, man. It's good to see that, you know, and
man.
That's the... And you see that in people a lot. Like, you know, I had to go back to my friend Jay. She was like that. She didn't go to church when I first met her, when I was dating her. Next time I met her, she was going to church. She said, Mike, you want you to come to church with me? I was like, what? You going to church? I just go to this church then. You know, must be something there for me too. And sure enough, I joined.
Yeah.
You know, we don't always sit together. Don't get it twisted. We don't always sit together. But, you know, because she goes, you know, church is like, 3.5 hours long. So it's like I'll take off the first hour and then I go like 5:30, you know, we'll go from the beginning. We sit together. But I don't miss anything. I don't miss the sermon or anything, but you know, they just go on and on.
Yeah, but Mike, I think that what's important, and I think we all get caught up in this, is that we take for granted. You know, thank God that the devil didn't take Tony out when you knew the old Tony. I wouldn't be talking to you right now.
Right, that's true.
I
mean, that's true. I mean, no, he wasn't that bad. No, don't get it.
Don't
make it sound like
he was.
Yeah, he was bad. We know he was bad. We know he had dirt on his fingernails. You know,
I'll tell you one story. Tony was out with his first wife.
Okay.
And some guy said something, and Tony punched him in the face.
Wow, Tony.
I remember him getting a fight right in front of our job, and I was like, you fought a guy in the street? What's wrong with you? I mean, it was like, come on now, we're like 20s, in our early 20s, but it's like, you had to do all that. You just could have pushed him or something. You
punched him in the face. Knocked the dude out.
Yeah. He was vicious back then, but seeing him now, man, this is beautiful. That's a beautiful thing, man.
There he is. He got the
head
going.
He
needed to hear that.
Yeah,
hey, you got any pictures? Because if you don't have no pictures, it didn't happen.
You know what happens, fool. I was there.
Yeah, that's good word.
Yeah, but you know,
Tony is a good dude. Don't get this wrong. Like, it take a lot. We're talking about manhood. Man, I'm gonna tell you, Tony is the epitome of manhood. He had a daughter when he was in college. He was a man enough to leave New York. Because his woman lived here, his girl lived here, to be with his girl and his woman, he moved here to be with them. That's a man. He left his home to be where he's supposed to be, help raising his daughter in the same town that he's in. That's the epitome of manhood right there.
Wow.
You know, it's 20-something then.
You
wow.
just hit our call. Good Lord, you just hit our call. I don't even think I need to put a conclusion or a closure.
No, that's it right there.
Hey, look, and look, and look.
Setting up a man, making change.
And listen, I will say this. I've been here a long time in this D.C. area. Mike is the single oldest friend that I have in this area.
That's true.
He probably was the first friend that I had in this area. Matt, we worked at the
Pentagon.
At the Pentagon.
Yeah. You going
and
bold at the Pentagon?
We worked at the Pentagon.
Yeah, he did too there. He did there too.
Come on,
he's telling
man.
All your business.
There's so many guns around the Pentagon to be throwing
oh,
the
man.
Tony's
hey,
mad. He's so
that was before 9/11. You could throw goals in.
for 9/11. But go ahead, Tony. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And I remember when my daughter was real like an infant, and you would take me some, you know, my car broke down, Mike would be like, come on, we got to go to the babysitter, we got to pick her up, because I said, yo, I need you. You know what I mean? So he was definitely all us back then, man. My man.
That's what's up.
I didn't even have no children then, you know what I'm saying? I didn't even have no kids, but I know right from wrong, and you judge a person by his character. Now, I'm going to tell you, me and Tony didn't become friends until he punched that guy at the Pentagon.
He's like, you can be my boy now.
No, it was like, because, you know, you see, damn, I would have done the same. He said, dang, I'd have done the same thing.
Yeah.
And Tony said, he asked me a question, why has anybody punched him before? I was like, wow, it's all right. I like him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
He's real.
You talking about Mike?
Yeah, I'm talking about Mike.
Yeah, he was stealing from people, man. He was just a shiesty guy, man.
Shiesty. That's the worst word, shiesty. He's a shiesty dude.
You know, he borrowed some money from me, man, and I didn't know. I was just a nice guy. I said, all right. And, you know, he was like, he came up ghost when I tried to get my money back on payday, and I was like, okay.
And it was like, he was like, you know, 3 days of pay. It wasn't like it was, you know, $20
or
something. It was like 3 days of
$20 or something like that. So, you know, I was like, yeah, you think I get my money back? And he was like, you know, I started hemming and hawing.
No, he didn't need hemming and hawing. He was like, you get it when I give it to you.
Oh,
yeah.
Mike,
he went like that with it. I remember Tony.
Yeah, it was bad.
He punched him
bad.
In the face. And everybody's like, wow, Tony punched him in the face. I was like, Tony's like, why ain't nobody punched him before? I said, I don't know.
No, and the rest is history, as they say.
Yeah, man, we've been friends ever since, man.
Yeah, the rest is history, man. I had a lot of friends after that. I got no problems with money either.
But
he got
promotion,
if I remember correctly.
Yeah, but listen, that's manhood.
That's manhood.
That's stepping up to the plate and honoring yourself, and not only yourself but your dignity. You know, manhood to me, to end the call, is honoring your name.
Right.
You know, if I tell the kids all the time, when you leave this house and you walk outside that door,
representing the house.
You represent the house, me, and how I was raised and all like that. I mean, it's not just, you know, you represent where your mama was raised, how she's raising you, how I was raised, how I'm raising you. It takes a lot of effort. And for anybody to disrespect that, you got to pull that card.
Mm-hmm.
That's the rule of the house.
Yep.
Good words.
Well, I'm going to end this call. I'm going to hit the end button, so it's going to say damn. But I want to say thank you again for another successful call of Head of Household. And remember, this is episode 142, meaning that we never missed a Tuesday. We've been on this thing for over 3+ years, and we have over 142 recorded phone calls.
Wow. That's a lot.
That is a lot of calls. And for anybody who doubted us, all you got to do is say episode 142. And guess what? We're going to have episode 143 next week. You need to get on it. Because men are getting on this call every single week.
Right.
And with that being said, next week, Carl, do we have one? Do we have a title? Or determined?
We definitely have the gist of a title. There's got to be some fine-tuning it, but I will give you a sneak peek. We're going to talk about anger next week.
Ooh.
We're going to talk about controlling our temper and from being how to keep from being an abusive husband. How do we control our anger in the marriage? That's kind of where it's going next week.
All right. Well, there it is. We went from manhood, and we're going to take a step into manhood. Because manhood, a lot of men lose their manhood because they hit women. They don't know how to control their anger. And that's being part of a man.
Yeah.
And with that being said, I'm ending the call. See you next week, same time, 9 p.m. We go until we're done.
Okay. I'm down.
All right.